got sound if you want to go.
Ready? Rolling.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, talking now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about arse?
What?
Is arse a swear word?
Arse, yes, it's a swear word.
No, it's not.
Third. Out there, I know arse isn't a swear word. Here, in TV land, arse is most definitely a swear word. You trust me. I know all about swearing in TV. I'm a master of knowing when I can and when I can't.
What about big dog's c***? Can you say that?
And now...
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
Our feature presentation.
That's how I knew Bean was gay. Because not only his words, but his actions.
We're on the air.
And,
hey,
we
Kevin,
can hear you.
This,
we can
I don't
hear
know, this
you.
Was like 5, 6 years ago when it finally, he finally came out.
You know what I mean? Kevin, we can hear
you're
you. We're on the air. We're on the air.
Like it was a surprise to anybody. You know what I mean? Just see everybody's like, oh, really? Bean's gay? What a surprise.
Hey, Kevin?
Oh, yes. Hello.
We're on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, everybody.
How are
I'll
you?
I'll tell you about Bean being gay later.
How dare you?
What's happening, party people?
Well, Lisa's bragging. Lisa's starting off today by bragging by, hey, look at me.
Brought in my brown belt that I earned this weekend with blood, sweat, and tears.
It sounds like the brown belt is something you should earn if you win Butthole Week.
It does, doesn't it? I really should have a wall of brown belts by now.
No kidding.
That's a brown ring, though. That's a little different.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right. This is your... All right. Let's back up for people who don't know what the context is. You're with what Girl Scout troop?
I am with United Studios of Self-Defense, USSD, and I've been going, I think, 4.5 years now.
Okay.
Wow.
And, yeah.
That's now, a brown belt sounds impressive. Is it good?
It is good.
Is it one level below black belt?
Yes. But there are 3 levels of brown belt, so I just have the first one. So I have 2 more I have to get before.
Is this just that you go to the place and you guys all pose for a half hour and then you shout, yeah, every once in a while? But if like a 5-year-old kid ran into you on the street and tried to take your money, he would be able to?
I don't know. No 5-year-old's charged me yet, so I can't really speak to that.
But I'm saying you could defend yourself.
Yeah.
How many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight, Lisa?
8.
Wow. With a brown belt, 8. How about that?
I think. Especially if I can use my belt to slap them. We had to drive down to El Toro because that's where the headquarters is. And there are about 45 of us testing for... It's weird how they do it, but the first time you get your brown belt, you're actually 3rd degree, and then you do 2nd and 1st, and then you go to black belt, and then black belt counts from 1 on up. So this is a 3rd degree brown belt. There are about 45 people testing, and they made us go outside in the sun in our heavy black gis for 5.5 hours and test. We never got inside. One guy threw up at the end, and everyone was like, woo!
Nice.
Finally, someone went, and I looked over, and he just sprawled on the cement afterwards. And there were several men who had to go in the shade for a minute because they're about to pass out, but not me.
Not you.
No way.
Because you're better.
I was there. I'm tough.
Is it karate or judo or kung fu or what?
It's a cross between karate and taekwondo.
What's it called? What's the name of it?
Shaolin Kempo.
Shaolin Kempo. Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like this is the sort of training that, like learning a foreign language, that you might do well in testing. Like at class, you're fine, and then you don't use it in the real world at all, so it's essentially useless to you because you don't have the skills at your fingertips.
I don't think that's true at all, because the whole point of this particular form of karate, whatever you want to call it, is that you keep striking until someone's down on the ground. And you use whatever you can. It's not like you're going to use a particular defense maneuver when someone attacks you, but you know enough about different kinds of strikes, where to kick them in the knee and the groin, a palm strike to the nose. You know different things that you can do. Now, obviously, if a 200-pound guy attacks me,
right,
and knows that I know how to defend myself, it's going to be difficult. But the idea for, I think, especially for women, is that we have the element of surprise. If a guy grabs you, he doesn't know that you... actually know how to
right.
do some
if a guy comes
stuff.
Up to you in a parking lot coming out of the movies, he won't expect that you're going to have skills.
Right. And we do sparring all the time. We actually do fight.
All right, I think Kevin's with me on this. I would like to say that sometime between now and 9 o'clock, Psycho Mike comes up behind you and just grabs you.
I agree.
Coming in the door in the studio, and we see what you can do.
Just a little real-world test. No, hurt him. That's fine.
I don't want to kick out his knee.
That's fine. For the test, it's fine.
Mike, does Lisa have your permission to use by any means necessary to put you down?
Yeah, whatever force necessary.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
But wait, right, this can't be like this can't be like the deal that Kevin has with Miss Cleo. She can't just randomly walk up to me and kick me in the nuts or punch.
No,
no,
no.
Okay, I have to.
But you can do that to her. You initiate it to her because the element of surprise is on your side to begin with, because Lisa doesn't know the attacker is coming, and then we're going to see what Lisa's brown belt skills are going to do, and grab her boobs too, Mike.
Okay, we'll do.
because you can. I mean, you're grappling anyway. Why the hell not? Right? Yeah. What's she going to do?
Plus, you never know. That'll be realistic.
All's fair in martial arts.
All right, so we're cool. Everybody's got the ground rules.
Right.
Lisa, you're all right with that?
We're in.
All right.
I'm wearing wood
now
shoes,
and
Mike.
My wood shoes? I was like, oh, she's wearing wood shoes.
I really am. Yeah.
I thought I'll you wanted enough. Me to wear wood shoes no. so you could hear me coming.
What are wood shoes?
Dr. Scholl's shoes. You know, they're made of wood.
No. I've never heard of that.
You've seen them. If you saw
now
them,
we make
know.
Them with wood.
Well, Lisa, do whatever you have to do. Impress the hell out of us by taking Mike down. Seriously, knock teeth out if you have
to. I'm not going
to
take him down. I'm just going to get him to let go.
Okay,
that's all
fine.
I need.
Just get him to tap.
There you go. Get him to tap. That's a good idea.
Okay. This is hard for me to believe, little Lisa just out there with a brown belt.
Well, it's impressive. Let me tell you, at the end of 5.5 hours, I was impressed with me because I really, really.
Well, you do love
I really
you.
Didn't think yeah. I could do it, honestly.
But then you did, and now you feel like you know, you're walking down the street, and there's about 5 thugs. You go, come on, bring it.
Yeah, yeah. I purposely walk into dangerous neighborhoods
Bring
now.
It. Yeah, that's what you should do.
I do.
We have to do like a K-Rock.
Railroad track.
We have to do like a K-Rock female fight club or something. We have to do something where we can use this to our advantage.
I like it.
And get some video.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's a good idea.
All right. Girl fight.
All right. K-Rock's Kevin, along with Dave, the King of Mexico, arrived at their palatial downtown Chicago radio studio about 5 minutes ago. Go on the air here. And how's Chicago? One of my favorite cities in the whole world.
Chicago's awesome. I think I've only been here maybe one time for something a long, long, long time ago.
Oh,
and
love that place.
It really is a beautiful city. It's an amazing venue where we went to the Lollapalooza show. It's kind of like Coachella in Grant Park. It's kind of like Coachella in that it's way spread out and there are a lot of stages, but it's also kind of like if you took Coachella and all the land there and just made it one long rectangle. Mm-hmm. On one side is I don't know, a river, a big some kind of a lake, I'm not sure what. And on the other side is the skyline of Chicago. So it's a really amazing place.
Yeah, it is. It is great. And I guess Lollapalooza, I mean, they've decided that this is the way they're going to do it, is rather than tour the country, just do it once a year and have it in Chicago.
And it is, I don't know, it was probably 4 seconds before Dave said, I don't know, I'm tired from walking.
Really?
I'm too tired. I was like, we just got here. I'm tired. I don't want to walk this far. But
I know you have an update coming up after 6. I'm eager to hear about the bands and hear about the stuff that you guys have been doing. Dave texted me a little bit yesterday. I guess he went to the Cubs game, and he checked in from there. But I'm eager to hear what all you guys were doing this weekend.
He asked me about 10 times, do you want to go to the Cubs game? And I said, are they a baseball team? And he said, yeah. And I said, no.
Dude, you had a chance to go to Wrigley Field and sit in, passed up. Come on.
Yes. Okay. If the Bears were playing, I probably would have gone. But no, not baseball. Because you know why? They play baseball.
Best sport in the world, Ryan.
Right, that's why. Best sport in the world. Also on today, we have a Sustainable Dave, Cribs Edition.
Yeah, that's right.
Excited about this because Psycho Mike went to his house and went all around it and asked him a bunch of questions and looked at his trash. And yep, there's some trash.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting. We know what to do when, you know, you see Cribs and you see 50 Cent on Cribs. We go to the Sustainable Dave's house. That's how we do it.
But of all the people that we talk to, all of the various Kevin freaks that we speak with, I mean, he's one that you kind of do want to see what his setup is, because it sounds so wacky when you hear that he's got a compost pile with earthworms and he's got all sorts of other stuff and he's, you know, throwing all of his trash in the basement. I mean, you kind of want to see what this guy's got going on. I'm glad Mike went. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, as much intrigue that goes into Sustainable Dave's house, though, I think that my level of mystery behind Doto was still way higher. You know, like the excitement going to Doto's house.
Sure, because Dave is a real person who actually has a job and a family. Doto is like a cartoon.
Well, Lisa,
Man of Mystery.
I don't want to give too much away, but I will say this: Dave, not so much a regular guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dave, sustainable Dave, crazy.
You really? You think he's a little nutty?
Yeah. I never really got crazy. I got really dedicated.
Dedicated guy, very nice guy, very cool guy.
I got crazy the whole time, people.
Bonkers.
Wow. I don't want you to give it away, but I'm curious to know if he was wearing pants when you came over, because he did always seem a little bit sweet on you when we talk on the phone.
he started with pants. I'll just leave it at that. He started with pants on.
And then you did not allow that to continue?
My desire just ripped him off with my mind.
You can't just tore him away. With you as you do.
That's what I figured. Plus on today's show, boneheaded moves that you've done to make me feel better about leaving my car running in the parking lot for the X Games.
This is all based on Kevin.
Yeah. That was really embarrassing and scared me. I was like, okay, this is another level altogether here.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we will have people who will make you feel better.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
I believe Dewan got a new job. We're going to have to talk to him about that.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Very exciting.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, is cutting back jobs and cutting back the people who they still are employing back to minimum wage.
Yeah.
And that's not working.
National minimum wage, which is way less than California minimum wage. So they're already making the lowest legally allowed by law in the state of California. And then the governor says, you know what? You guys are making too much. Let's back that down.
Yeah.
I mean, if only there was some sort of device where you could keep track of the passage of time and you could anticipate that a budget was going to run out at some point during the year. If only they had something like that.
Don't be ridiculous. And we got the grand prize for Metallica. You're going to get to hang out with Metallica at Ozfest. I believe they picked a city in Texas where they knew nothing was going to be going on, and we're going to fly you there so that you can hang out with Metallica.
Pretty cool.
Because let's face it, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of cities where there's nothing going on in Texas.
True.
So that's coming up. And if you missed it on Friday, Bean is speaking. He's going to be the keynote speaker at a dork fest called 10 November.
How dare you?
I think it's a geek fest.
Yeah, that's what the guy wanted to say. But Bean's going to be speaking. He's why did the boat go down?
The anniversary again of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald is coming up in November. And a K-Rock listener who listens online from Michigan has invited me to come and speak at his event, and it's a very tempting offer. Believe me, you'll want to hear all the details coming up in about a half an hour or so.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:49.
This is Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin, ask your guy to turn you down some more. You're way louder.
This is Kevin and Bean Show.
Give him an hour.
Jello pudding pops.
Hey, Kevin sounds pretty good today, considering he was in Chicago all weekend long for Lollapalooza.
Considering? Listen,
I say so.
I think perhaps I need to keep drinking, that's all.
I think you do, too.
I was shocked that he was there at 5:30. I have to be completely honest. I was absolutely expecting to start today's show by myself.
Granola bars that you drink.
It's 5:49 Monday morning. Ralph, I thought about you last night when I noticed a program on NBC called Football. Is that what it's called?
NBC
last night. I thought, whoa, is Ralph happy today?
It was the first of the preseason games with the Hall of Fame ball.
Yep.
Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio last night, and I could not have been happier.
I already saw a few minutes of it, but I laughed every time I heard Colt Brennan's name.
He should
be on Fastlane or something. He's the new quarterback for the Redskins, and his name is Colt Brennan.
Yeah, that's a quarterback's name right there.
No kidding.
Wow.
So All-American.
And the Colts, speaking of Colt Brennan, the Colts were sans quarterback last night.
Yeah.
Manning's out with a bad bursa sack. You know how painful that can be.
Sounds bad.
As soon as I find out what a bursa sack is, I'll let you know. Apparently, it's the sack of fluid that cushions your joints.
Oh.
It's in your knees, it's in your elbows, or in your knuckles. You know when you crack your knuckles? Mm-hmm. That sound? That's the bursa sack popping in your knuckle.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So his knee bursa sack apparently is all honked up, so they had some surgery on that. So the Colts went without him last night. Didn't fare so well against the mighty, mighty Redskins.
Well, they were playing without a lot of their guys, I guess. I mean, you can't take it much away.
Preseason's
Colt Brennan looked good.
Except it's fun to see guys on the field hitting each other again. So good times.
Exactly. And how was Madden? I did not hear much of him. I didn't see the beginning of the game.
Horrible as always.
Excellent as always.
He is just a big fat retard.
Fantastic. The best ever.
every year he gets a little older and a little more decrepit and gets a little more of the Alzheimer's, has a little more trouble following what he's talking about. So
you know what he didn't say last night? Wood shoes, what are those?
That's my favorite Kevin quote from earlier this morning. I'm guessing they're shoes made out of wood, but I was just mean.
I really don't have any wood shoes.
Like these. You see these all the time.
Like clogs. The girls wear them like sandals. They got wood soles, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Kevin, I got a red book. Red book? What is that?
It's a book. Red.
Kevin officially owns zero shoes that aren't cross trainers, though. I mean, so he to him, the idea of like wood shoes or from loafers, leather.
Any other fabric other than nylon and rubber just doesn't get to it.
Wait, shirts that aren't striped, what are those?
How dare you?
All right, showbiz news, huh?
Yes. Yeah, what the hell's going
on? That? Okay. The Knight slayed the dragon. Just barely. Dark Knight was number one at the box office again this weekend.
Damn.
Making $43.8 additional million dollars. Keep it at number one for the third week in a row. Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, came in just a hair behind it at $42.4 million.
That's a surprise, isn't it? I think.
That the Mummy did so well?
That the Mummy wasn't number one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were expecting it finally to knock Dark Knight off the top. Since so many people had already seen it, they thought,
sure,
that's it. Third week, they can't be number one. And yet they were. Step Brothers was number three with $16.3 million. That brings the total of Step Brothers to over $60 million, by the way.
Oh, they have to be happy
with
that.
So that's a huge hit for Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Mamma Mia, number four. Journey to the Center of the Earth, the other Brendan Fraser movie in the top 10, was number five. Swing Vote made $6.3 million in its debut, the Kevin Costner comedy.
So it's already made money?
Do you get it now? Do you understand, Hollywood movie makers? We keep telling you, we're not interested in any more Kevin Costner movies. Ever. 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 No one listens. Hancock.
He's white trash guy with a heart of gold,
he
though,
sure
Ralph.
Is. And he's better than us because he's stupid and poor.
Right.
Don't you see?
Exactly.
Hancock was number seven. Wall-E was eight. The X-Files, I Want to Believe, came in at number nine. And then Space Chimps, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Kevin Costner, speaking of him, said yesterday that he is considering doing a sequel to The Bodyguard.
Yes.
He said he would never ordinarily do a sequel, but they've come to him with the idea of doing a sequel for The Bodyguard, and he's interested.
Okay.
All right.
Would Whitney be involved too?
Probably not, because his character, Frank Farmer, The Bodyguard, said in the end of the first film that he's no longer interested in guarding celebrities, so Kevin thinks he'd have to guard like a politician or a political official or something like that. So maybe we can get some more speeches about how politicians have to be better than their promises.
He can guard Colt Brennan.
Maybe. Oh, Colt doesn't need a guard, man. Colt takes care of himself. He's got a brown belt. Celebrity sick bay. Sad news. Christina Applegate apparently undergoing treatment for breast cancer.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Her representatives released a statement to TMZ this weekend saying that's an early form of the disease. They spotted it early thanks to an MRI, and it's not life-threatening, and they're expecting her to make a full recovery. So she's starting her treatment now, and of course, we wish the best for her. She's had a rough year. About a month ago is when her boyfriend, Lee Grivas, was found dead in his apartment after an apparent suicide. So, not a great year for Christina. Although she's on that Samantha Who, which is very popular.
Hey,
she's got
that going for her. Another celebrity sickbay update. Bernie Mac spent the entire weekend in a Chicago hospital after being diagnosed with pneumonia. Nice work, Kevin.
Wow. Way to go, Kevin.
Yeah, way to go. What do you got against Bernie Mac?
What did I do?
Well, I don't know. Why'd you put him in the hospital? That's what we want to know. He was fine until you went to Chicago. You go to Chicago, boom, he's in the hospital.
He had it coming.
He does, that Bernie Mac.
He asked Mac for it.
Talking to the camera all the time. Listen to me, America. All that stuff.
Why the hole got to be black?
That's right. That's what he said. People magazine got a bargain when they were negotiating the record-breaking deal to publish the first pictures of the Brangelina babies. The New York Post says that OK magazine told them they'd pay $20 million, but Brad and Angelina took the People magazine offer of $15 million because they thought they had a higher level of journalistic credibility. Really? Really?
Between You're OK selling and baby People? Pictures.
That's a coin flip.
How much credibility do you need to print baby pictures?
And all the money's going to charity, so wouldn't you want to get as much cash as possible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently they like People better than they like OK, so People wins.
Today, by the way, if you're one of those people who insists on seeing what newborns look like, today is the day that they are released to the newsstands.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, I bet they look so different.
That's going to be so cool.
They're special babies. We're talking about Brendan Fraser having two films in the top 10 this weekend. He also apparently is a pretty cool dude. According to the New York Post, he found out that over 100 digital effects artists who worked on Journey to the Center of the Earth have yet to be paid for their work on that movie.
Excellent.
Because the company, Discovery Communications, that did the special effects went bankrupt. And so over 100 workers didn't get paid for their work on that film.
Oh, wow.
So Brendan Fraser has jumped into the negotiations trying to get those guys paid from the movie company. And so he's actually getting himself involved in trying to get those guys paid. He said he couldn't. He feels awful that those guys didn't get paid and is extremely upset about it and is going to do whatever it takes to try to get them some cash.
That's very nice.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Out of his realm, doesn't really like to deal with it, but apparently he is. Mario Lopez in the news. You know, he's the new host of Extra.
Really?
I don't think I knew that.
Mark McGrath is leaving.
Oh, really?
He's going back to his music career. Oh, Jesus.
Well, the demand is enormous.
I have noticed Sugar Ray playing a lot more shows. Seriously.
How? How did you notice that?
I'm just saying.
Wow,
you know,
Sugar Ray's on an uptick. How do you, what are you, combing the papers?
No, but I'm on, you know, Ticketmaster.com or KRock.com. You see the live shows that are coming up in Southern California, and I happen to notice that Sugar Ray's playing a lot more lately. So
and did you buy tickets for any of those shows?
No, no, no.
Well, the people have demanded it.
They have. They've been clamoring.
Give us more Sugar Ray. We no longer can tolerate a life without Sugar Ray, they said. So Mario Lopez has taken over as the host of Extra, and Dana...
Delaney.
Delaney, no. Dana...
Carvey.
No, Dana... And who's the girl, the female host on that Extra show? Anyway, she's going into the field. She'll be a correspondent. So it's Mario's baby, all on his own. However, he tells In Touch magazine that he's a little afraid of his increased profile on television because he already has a hard time with his fans. He says his fans often come up and touch and squeeze him and make him feel like a piece of meat.
Well,
sorry, Mario.
You should put a shirt on once in a while, then maybe they wouldn't look at him like
hey,
that.
Hey, he's a person, Bean. He's got feelings, okay? He's not there just for you to fondle.
I like meat.
Why doesn't anybody treat us like that? That would be cool.
I'm all for being meat, by the way. Ladies, feel free to meatitize me.
Is that what it is?
Meatitizing, yes. And in the world of reality television, finally... we get to see inside the life of Jodie Sweetin. Yes.
Sorry?
Former Full House star Jodie Sweetin is trying to shop around her reality show for this fall. She tells People magazine she's in the talks with various networks.
Sure.
For a show about her and her husband Cody Herpin. Herpin and Sweetin back together again on the screen.
I loved them in the 70s. They were great.
Herpin and Sweetin.
They're a crime fighting duo, weren't they?
Oh, they were good. They didn't take any crap from anybody.
I think you're thinking of Peaches and Herb.
Oh, that's right. That's what they
call it.
What's interesting about her life now, though, Ralph? And what is she doing?
Well, she's a new mom.
Right.
And she was on Full House
25 years ago.
So now her own house is getting fuller.
Didn't she smoke a lot of meth, too? Wasn't she a
Apparently
tweaker?
She was some sort of drug addict, yeah. And now she's going to have a reality show.
If she starts up again, I'll watch that show.
If she starts to live with the Corys, then
if
we'll
she's
watch.
A mom who's high on meth,
yeah.
Then you got something worth watching. The networks say she's next in line for a reality show right after some guy who was an extra on MASH. They're going to do him first, and then they're going to get around to Jodie Sweetin, so... congratulations.
Not everybody is a reality show. I think that's the point that we're saying.
Are you crazy? Everyone gets one. That's a God-given
rule,
right. That's in the Constitution, bitch. Look it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
The homosexual is right.
Did you see the new Pam reality series last night?
No.
No, I did not.
Pam Anderson?
Do not call Pam it a reality series. Do not call it that.
I'm sorry. The documentary about her life? First thing she does when she's talking into the camera, they say, so what will we learn about Pam Anderson? What will we get to see? You go, you get to see these, and she pulls her top down and shows her cans right to the screen.
Well, all right now.
They pixelated it out, but...
Pam Anderson?
Because they're E and they're bad, but there's the first thing, the first minute of her show, that's what she did.
Did you hear that she and Tommy Lee aren't really together? They're really both just doing it for publicity, for her show and his tour.
I did not hear that.
Tommy Lee, by the way, kicked off his reality show this weekend. I don't know if you guys know he has a new reality show.
What?
He does?
I swear.
Is it Bananas?
Battlefield Earth, where he takes on, I'm not kidding you. It's on the Green Channel. I didn't even know Home and Style Green Channel. He takes on Ludacris to see who could be more green.
That's bananas.
I'm not kidding. I watched first 15 minutes of it. I can't believe this is not a skit. This is not comedy.
That sounds like a sketch.
Yeah, and Tommy Lee starts off the show by gathering up trash in a trash can and driving through like some college. I'm the king of trash. Yeah, rocking the trash. It's awesome.
Oh, no.
Tommy. Are you back on drugs?
I'm dead serious.
He is correct.
It's called Battlefield Earth.
I heard he was using his penis as a trash compactor.
I'm driving.
He was crushing cans with his enormous Schweinsteiger.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
It's a good point.
Pam Anderson?
That is. Thank you. Point. Anyway, Pam Anderson.
At some point, God forbid, I know she's hot and all that, but at some point she's going to get too old to play this sex kitten that she seems to embrace.
Yes, she is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
She'll become.
I mean, she started to look a little bit rough, and now, you know, she's lifting her top at every opportunity. I don't know. It's not like it was.
But she hasn't reached that point yet for me, so I'm happy to watch her lift her top.
Me too. That's what she should be doing.
But eventually, you're right. She will become Angeline.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's where she's headed.
Yeah. And that will be sad for all of us. But until then, keep showing those cans, Pam. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor and comedian Richard Belzer from Law & Order, Special Victims Unit and Homicide. He is 64 years old today. Got one ball, that Richard Belzer, by the way.
Does he really?
Yeah, just the one ball.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that club.
He had the testicular cancer. Had to take a
balls.
Billy Bob Thornton is 53 years old today. As far as I know, he still has both testicles.
Mm-hmm. Balls.
And Daniel Day Kim.
Hey!
From Lost turns 40 years old today, and he's got three. Oddly enough.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an Asian thing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to tell you.
What?
There are a lot of bad songs in the past. A lot of bad songs. But
I see where you're headed with this.
My least favorite song of all time, that song that makes you just want to punch somebody because it's so awful, bad, repetitive.
You hate the song.
Terrible. It's the one that sends me in just into a tizzy. I can't control myself when I hear this song. Is one of Bean's favorite songs. And
probably my very favorite song. And that's what's fascinating. What are the chances that two people who work together as closely as we do would be thrown into this situation where my favorite song of all time is also Kevin's least favorite song of all time? What are the chances of that?
It just can't be your favorite.
It's because Kevin hates you.
No. No, that song, I despise that song from day one.
Because he loves it so much.
Well, he does love it.
Because it's impossible.
Unnaturally. It's
here's a little bit of the song that we're talking about from 1976 by the great Gordon Lightfoot, talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
We've heard the whole thing now. We've already heard it.
First of all, there's 6.5 minutes left.
It all goes just like this, though, right?
Church bell chimed and it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Go ahead.
This horrible song. It's about a shipwreck that happened in, what year, Bean?
November 10th, 1975.
Okay, whatever.
The 33rd anniversary is coming up this year, and I have received an invitation via email from a young man who's on the phone with us right now. He is the drama director of a play called 10 November, and we welcome Dave Krisnick to the phone right now. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, Dave, I understand from your email that for a while you lived in Southern California. That's how you know about K-Rock, but now you live out in Michigan, right?
That is correct.
Okay. What's the deal? What's the gist of this email that you're sending? What is it you're looking for?
I am looking for Bean, one of the greatest Edmund Fitzgerald aficionados, to come to Michigan.
Yes.
And on the anniversary of the sinking, this 10th of November, be the keynote speaker and a moderator at a panel discussion before our performance of the play, 10 November. So he can sit beside noted historians, gentlemen who have explored the wreck, and just revel in the ship and its legend.
He's so in. I mean, this is what he was born for. It's a horrible song, but it involves human death, which Bean also loves.
He does love death.
See, now here's the thing, and I'm sure David would agree with me on this. You're kind of focusing on the song because you hate the song, Kevin, but the truth is there are thousands of people, particularly in the Midwest, who are obsessed with this shipwreck because it's one of the great mysteries of the Great Lakes. People don't know why it sunk, and that's why to this day the fascination remains. 29 people went down that day, and they've never solved the mystery of why it sunk.
I'm going to
suggest, A, they never will, and B, who cares?
David, you want to handle that one?
Yes, there is a new researcher, a gentleman here in Michigan in the Flint area who I've contacted, who has done extensive research over the past 3 years. He may have a new theory there, and be close to solving the mystery. If I get a chance, I'm going to meet with him and head up to Whitefish Point and possibly even meet the evil architect.
Wait a minute, David. You're suggesting that this guy might have a new theory?
I'm suggesting he might have yet another theory.
You're not even sure that he has a theory, which, by the way, theory equals guess. This is a dude with a new guess, maybe.
He could possibly, maybe, might have a new theory. But Bean is right. We know more about the sinking of the Titanic than we do about the Fitzgerald.
Is there this kind of a celebration of the Titanic or any other big shipwreck?
Yeah, there are people who are huge Titanic aficionados who study that wreck, but it's not there's no mystery because they ran into an iceberg. So there's right. not the mystery of the crash, but there are certainly people who are interested in the artifacts and interested in the stories of the people who were on the ship, and of course their plays and movies and everything written about like that. The Fitzgerald is the biggest of all the shipwrecks, though, and there have been hundreds of them over the years, hundreds and hundreds. Now, what's this 10 November play that you're putting on this year, David?
The play is by Stephen Dietz. It's a legitimate play. It's been performed many places, and it basically explores the wreck from the shipyards in Detroit to its death to the legend and the various theories, and it brings to life the rather dry reports from the Marine Casualty Board, Coast Guard, those sort of reports, and it's just told, in our case, through the eyes of our young actors at Pinconning Area Schools.
And it's based on the first, on the eyewitnesses that were around? It's based on...
Based on actual testimony, and yes, from the Arthur M. Anderson that Bean knows very well.
Oh,
from,
certainly.
Folks that were on the Anderson, it's pieced together, and it just brings the entire story to life in a rather serious and eerily evocative way.
That is my nightmare, and yet Bean has had a wet dream about that every day of his life.
David,
Bean wakes up excited and says, I could one day be a speaker at a DorkCon.
It's not a DorkCon. How
the
dare
DorkCon.
You?
It's more of a geek fest than a DorkCon.
Come on, what's the difference?
We're splitting hairs.
He can keynote and moderate, and we will, if he comes, we'll put moderate. Him up at the Pinconning Motel. Right
you
there.
Will
Pinconning.
Not.
Wow. You know, it's so funny, David, that your email came because this is for reals. Last year, I was this close. I mean, I had already reserved airline fare to Michigan. I was going to fly to Detroit, and I was going to drive up and go to the Shipwrecks Museum and everything. And then I was going to drive around, you know, Lake Superior and go up into Wisconsin where there was a playhouse that was putting on 10 November. I almost went to see it last year, but there was so much snow already that it just would have been too tough of a driving for one weekend. So I put
Exciting
it off.
Exciting story.
So what I'm saying to you is this has been something I've been wanting to do and wanting to go see for some time. Maybe this is the year that finally my dreams come true.
This is fate, then, Bean. You have to leave that the seclusion of the island. You're getting a little stuffy there. You're dressing up your dog and yourself like a crazed Frenchman from
yeah.
the steel day. You need to come to Michigan.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you have so many more people who are so much more knowledgeable about the wreck than I am. I mean, moderating would be one thing,
this
but then nobody
is
wants
your
to hear me.
Dream.
Nobody wants to hear me talk
who
about it.
Well,
these are the guys that have the stories. You know what I mean?
It's not about the listener. It's about you being able to get up and bloviate about something that you've been bloviating about for years.
Yeah,
that is such a good point. It has never stopped you that other people know so much.
None of us want any information about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and you come with it 24/7.
This is the year
guy
I think
wants you to speak.
The fact that this legendary, iconic Los Angeles DJ will fly from the West Coast to Pinconning, Michigan
to DorkCon
to Geek Fest. To be a part of that is that that's what's amazing about
it's very
the story.
Tempting.
Why did the people die?
It's
the
very
boat
tempting.
Not solid.
I'm going to have to think about this and check my schedule and get
tempting.
Back to you, David.
You better goddamn get down there and give that speech or I'll punch you right in your head. You've wasted so much of my life on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now you get a chance to speak about it in front of a room of dorks.
Geeks.
Dorks.
Fitzgerald geeks.
And come on!
He could broadcast live. You could simulcast your broadcast or something.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah. That's a
yes,
great idea.
We'll do it
that's
live.
That's a great idea.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, David, we are out of time right
He'll
now.
But do
it's
it.
It's an extremely generous
he's
offer.
In.
And it's certainly tempting.
Absolutely, he's going to do it.
I'll definitely get back to you on this one. So thank you for coming on with us. We enjoyed it.
Awesome. Have a great day, everyone.
All right.
You too, David.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Dork fest.
How about that? I may have to do that, you guys.
Dream.
I don't know how
you
I do.
You may have to? Are you kidding me?
That's so your dream.
This is the equivalent, Kevin, of them asking you to come live at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, it's how do I resist, you know?
That's what I'm saying. See, if they said come live at the Playboy Mansion, I would go.
I understand. I want to go. You know, it's tough to get me off the island. You know that. I mean,
this
I'm thinking about
it,
though.
This is what you were born for.
I'm thinking about it. It's very tempting.
I might kill you.
Available now only from wreckoftheedmundfitzgerald.com, the CD everyone has been waiting for from the world's greatest singer. ASCO Records presents Gordon Lightfoot, proving he can sing all your modern favorites on Alternative Gordon. Think Gordo's a moldy oldie? You couldn't be more wrong. Listen how hip he is as he gives his fresh sound to System of a Down's Chop Suey.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die.
And you'll be cheering G.O.D. when you hear Gordon's Youth of the Nation by P.O.D.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
And you'll fall in love all over again with Gordon's version of this violent femme smash.
Let me go on like a blister in the sun. Big hands, I know you are the one.
Plus, if you order now, you'll get a bonus disc, Gordon Lightfoot's Party Jokes. Your friends will be rolling with laughter when you play this CD at your next bash.
A Jew and a Catholic walk into a bar, looking for a one-legged hooker.
What a deal! Alternative Gordon and Gordo's Party Jokes, all for $199.99. So call now, 1-877-BEANS-EFT, 1-877-BEANS-EFT.
Sustainable Dave Cribbs on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Plus, I guess we're going to get some sort of an update from you, Kevin, and your friend Dave, the King of Mexico, broadcasting live from Chicago this morning about Lollapalooza to find out how that was this weekend, too.
Oh, it's fantastic, especially Radiohead. Wait till you hear about Radiohead.
I can't wait to hear it.
Good times.
You've whetted my interest. Well, the state of California is in trouble once again this year, guys. Every year they know that the budget runs out July 1st, and every year they do little or nothing about it to pass a new budget, and then we're in a crisis. So now the governor has to do crazy stuff, and the stuff that he's doing this time around, I don't remember it ever being like this before, but you're not going to believe it. If you're not affected by it, you're going to be very sad for the people that are. And we've got Governor Schwarzenegger on the phone to explain what he's up to right now. Good morning, Arnold.
I actually don't have the governor on the phone, Bean. I'm sorry.
Oh, is he out there cutting more jobs? Is that what's going on?
I think we're supposed to do that in about 10 minutes. Maybe he's not around yet.
Are you kidding me?
Should
I come
do
to the meeting
instead?
Well, you should check the meeting, sure.
Let's do Afro instead.
Or any of the paperwork that tells you what's happening. All right, let's do the Metallica grand prize. All right.
Oh, no, that's next hour.
Oh.
I thought that was here, no?
It was a good sell. I mean, you were on a roll and all, but yeah, it was all right, not right.
Save that tape so I don't have to do it again in 10 minutes.
No
Mike.
Problem.
How about if we do Afro? 323-520-AFRO. And I'm the one on the road drinking, by the way.
Wow.
Good
point. That's problems right there.
We get a lot of interest / hate about Psycho Mike and those wacky noises that he makes in the back of the room.
Hey, so I finally figured something out, and it's been something that's been eating away at my soul for a while. It's not Psycho Mike and his BS noises that he makes, and I've always been trying to figure out who he sounds like, and I finally figured it out. It's the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland. Oh, don't you know? You suck, Mike. Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
On Friday, and just a few minutes ago, we were telling you about Bean speaking at a conference about the worst song ever recorded in the history of songs.
Hi, guess what I'm doing right now? I'm listening to Big Boy, because you had that damn Armenian comedian on the frickin' radio again, man. What the hell? The guy's not funny. He's annoying. Stop putting that bastard on there, okay?
All right, Friday.
Should I do this?
Friday, 5 minutes ago.
What is going on?
You're both awful.
Maybe you should have come to the meeting.
It's in my own handwriting, by the way. I wanted to tease the one that was coming up.
Oh, okay.
Of course, we get hate from Armenian comedian, from people who just don't get it, but he's golden. Hey, Friday, and a few minutes ago, we told you about Bean speaking at a giant dork fest about the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
11:30. Thank you, you motherfuckers, for the worst weekend of my life, you bastards. Get that song in my head and I can't get it out, you son of a bitch.
That is a song that tends to get stuck in your head if you hear it one time. It is one of those for sure.
Well, it's like 8 minutes long and you've heard the whole thing in the first 4 seconds. It's the most repetitive song ever.
Yeah.
This might be a little late, but better late than never, I guess.
I'm a dance. Well, sometimes you get those songs stuck in your head for years. Yeah.
We were talking about inventions, some of them more important than others.
You know what I hate? When you take the pee and it splashes your pee all over your butt cheeks.
Oh.
It should be an invention for anti-splash and you'll be rich. Bye.
So a splash guard is what he's looking for his toilet.
Yeah, sure.
I guess so.
I got you. Okay.
An ass guard.
All right.
Here's the dude. Remember the dude that called earlier and said he couldn't get the song out of his head?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Here he is again.
Now it is 5:40. Help! I'm taking the damn song out of my head.
Yeah, stop it, please. That hurts. One of our favorite moments in the last, I'd say, 6 months was when the earthquake happened and Stryker was on the air and lightning came bursting into the studio to make sure that he, A, felt it, and B, he had some very, very important input.
Oh, my God, it feels like somebody's walking on the roof. Ah!
That's about right.
That's what he had to add. You know that we love the retarded policeman. You can go to the internet roundup at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and check out the retarded policeman. That's what this is about.
He is a tool, and he's urination impaired. He's a morning radio show host that has Asperger's as the size of a Sasquatch and doesn't like to be around other people. Keith Bean. Hi. Bye.
Hi.
We should do the retarded Bean.
Wouldn't that just be normal?
We do that every day.
That's true. Yeah. Never mind. Hey, you know that thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the budget and all that?
Yeah.
Coming up next.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got Sustainable Dave checking in with him.
Would you stop it?
You know what that dude
does?
I bet
there's a lot to do with him.
That dude throws stuff away.
He doesn't throw
Why
stuff away.
Why don't we call...
Good point.
How did you miss the whole point of all the time we talked to him?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Ah, good times. Sustainable Dave Cribs coming up after 7 o'clock this morning here on the World Famous K-Rock. Plus, in a minute, we'll tell you how you can win free tickets to see Foo Fighters and maybe ride a Harley with Dave Grohl. That's coming up. Kevin, is there anything happening with our governor we should know about?
No.
Are you sure?
He's talking about laying off 22,000 temporary part-time and contract state workers.
Wow.
22,000. He's talking about laying off 15% of the DMV, by the way. 1,345 people because it's too easy and too quick to go back and get your license renewed.
Well, that's
God.
The problem. That's definitely the problem. I guess this all has to do with the with being out of budget right now and being $15 billion in debt. And the governor's got to do something. And, of course, the people that get hurt most are the people at the bottom of the chain. We've got the governor, I believe, on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Arnold.
Ah, Kevin Levine, how are you? I'm Crazy Arnold. I'm stacking them deep and selling them cheap.
No kidding.
Ah, everything must go. Everything is priced to move.
It does sound kind of like you're shutting down the state when you start laying off this many people and then you're rolling back the minimum wage for people to below what it's supposed to be in the state. I mean, this is hurting a lot of people, Governor.
We're rolling back wages to 1929. We're having it going out of business still. California's going out of business and everything must go. If you don't buy from me, you're insane.
Governor, why is it you in Sacramento, you guys can't see that the budget's going to be expire on July 1st and do something about it before, I don't know, August?
We're pricing them cheap and selling them cheap. Everything must go.
When were you told that we were having a problem with the budget?
Wednesday.
Well, that's
no.
what I thought.
That's why I laid off 22,000 workers.
Yeah.
And 200,000 workers who are regular employees. I'm slashing their salaries.
You are, yeah.
To $6.22 an hour. $6.55 an hour.
Whatever it
Either
says
way,
in the article.
It's horrible.
It's insane. I'm crazy, Arnold. And everything must go. From now on, state prisons?
Yeah.
No more guards. The honor system.
The honor system.
You've been sentenced to a crime, just stay in your cell.
What?
It's insane.
Yes, it is.
It is crazy.
How about all the hookers we have in jail?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for oral sex? $20? $25? $30? $35? No, buy yourself a hooker. We'll send it to your house. You get it for free.
Whoa. Wow.
That's insane.
That is insane. That's very, very different.
No more state firefighters. If
what?
You see a fire, put it out.
But we don't have the equipment. And
put it out yourself. What do you want? What do you need, water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's no place to get water. Turn on the tap. Get a bucket. If you don't buy from state of California, we'll both lose money.
That's true.
How does that work exactly?
Some of the jobs that I've fired people from are from fish hatcheries.
Oh
yes,
no!
California
yeah.
state fish hatcheries. That's insane. Eat chicken and meat. Don't bother with fish.
I got you. Okay.
Eat vegetables.
Okay.
We still have the Mexicans working.
Yes.
Eat fruit. They sell it on the street corner.
Hey, Arnold, are you running any of these ideas by anyone?
I have no time for that.
We're going
out of business. Everything must go. I'm stocking them deep and selling them cheap. I'm stocking them high and saying goodbye. I'm stocking them full and that's no bull. We don't need a DMV anymore. DMV anymore.
We don't need it at all?
We don't need it. Just drive.
Okay.
Just drive your ass off.
Don't worry about licenses
no,
or tags
we don't
or anything
need
like
licenses.
That.
Licenses. If you don't know how to drive, we'll find out soon enough.
Oh, it's a little scary.
Everything must go. We're going out of business.
Wow.
I'm crazy, Arnold.
Arnold, I thought this was just for a little bit till you got a budget, no?
No, it's too late. The budget is crap. We're never going to sell it. We're going out of business. We have product to move. You want a flat screen TV?
Yeah.
Too bad
sure.
We don't have those.
Yeah, I got Beck right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just...
Your hair looks quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is like stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
That's our boy right there.
Yes, it is.
Stirring me.
You don't ever want to stir him.
Kevin Embiid show at K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. A couple times this morning during the show between now and 10 o'clock, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to go see Foo Fighters. How about that? In Pomona, super secret show. Plus, you're qualified for grand prize drawing we do Friday morning. Let you ride a brand new Harley with Dave Grohl. So that's all coming up this morning on K-Rock. 6:50 now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's happening?
Top 10 movies at the box office. Let's take a look, shall we? The Dark Knight continues to crush the competition. Number one at the box office for a third big weekend, making about $44 million this
week. $44 million?
Yeah, which would be a good opening weekend ordinarily for any film.
Wow.
This is the third weekend in a row it's been number one. This time, though, it had some competition. Just barely beat out The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which came in with about $42.5 million. But not enough to topple The Dark Knight. Will it be next weekend? With the release
No way in hell.
Midnight Meat Train?
Absolutely.
You got your Pineapple Express opening up this week.
There you go. That'll do it.
And you also got your, what's the crazy Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr., Jack Black?
Thunder, yeah.
Tropic Thunder. They're both coming out this week, sometime next week or so. So
big comedies. Competition. Will The Dark Knight hold on? I don't know. But I'm guessing yes. The Mummy, as I mentioned, was number two. Step Brothers came in at number three. The Will Ferrell comedy just surpassing the $60 million mark this weekend, which is great for an R-rated comedy.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia was number four. Journey to the Center of the Earth was number five. Swing Vote, the new Kevin Costner debacle, was number six with $6.3 million. Hancock was number seven. Wall-E was number eight. The X-Files, I Want to Believe, came in at number nine. And then number 10, Space Chimps, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Mamma Mia, ABBA has just broken yet another record. Their 1992 Greatest Hits album, Gold, hit number one on the British album charts yesterday, making it the oldest album ever to be number one in the charts.
Wow. This band has been broken up for like 25 years, right, Ralph?
They broke up in 1982, Bean.
Is it the movie that caused the surge in sales?
The Mamma Mia movie is a huge hit in the UK, Lisa. Yes, the soundtrack of the film was number one 2 weeks ago and now has been surpassed by the greatest hits of ABBA, which is number one in England as we speak.
God.
ABBA has sold more than 350 million albums
worldwide. Oh, my God.
And
what?
Here's the thing. Although they've been broken up in 1982, the group still moves 3 million albums every year. They sell 3 million discs every year.
Unbelievable. That's,
that is amazing.
It's ridiculous. And they've made the greatest collection of videos you've ever seen in your life.
You have to search out their videos. They are so stupid, bad,
search
ridiculous.
Search it out. Buy the DVD. They're all collected on one DVD. It's awesome.
You own that, right?
Oh, do I ever. My favorite is Fernando when they're sitting around a campfire. And you can tell it's inside a studio. And the smoke is just starting to fill up the studio. You can see it getting denser and denser. There's like a scrim behind it with like bad starlight and everything. It's hysterical. It's very, very fun. Speaking of record breakers, the Police, this close to being the world's most successful tour of all time.
No kidding.
Dude. Yeah. When they play their last concert ever Thursday night at New York's Madison Square Garden, they apparently will go out with the second most successful tour of all time. Apparently, they have performed in front of 2.5 million fans on five continents, and their tour has grossed more than $340 million in ticket sales.
Wow.
It puts them second behind the Rolling Stones, a Bigger Bang tour, which still holds the record, at $437 million.
It's just stupid.
It's just insane money. So, the Police and the Stones, number one and number two when it comes to record-breaking concert tours. And you guys know who Gary Glitter is?
I know the name.
Gary Glitter was a glam rock guy back in the 70s. Who his biggest hit, at least here in the States, was Rock and Roll Part 2, which you still hear at all the sporting events all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da.
Hey!
Hey! Well, I'd love to get a copy of that.
He was arrested on child molestation charges.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
27 months ago in Vietnam.
Wow.
And if you get arrested in Vietnam for molesting kids, you're really molesting.
Nope. Check that out.
All right.
He was taking advantage of the tourism opportunities in that part of the world, as I understand it, on vacation.
Yeah. Giddy up.
But he was abusing the privilege so much that they had to arrest him.
Why?
he got a 27-month sentence, and he will be released from a Vietnam jail on August the 19th.
Yeah.
Vietnam jails, that must be fun.
Oh, that's a good time right there. Yeah. That's part of their tourism board pitch.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you dig me.
Come visit our jails. You haven't seen Vietnam until you've seen it at the bottom of a tiger pit. Yeah, so he'll be getting out on August 19th, and I'm sure...
Ooh.
Sure.
Right,
he's learned
Rodney.
His lesson, and he won't be molesting young girls anymore.
I drink your milkshake.
All right, stop it. Just stop it.
He just needs to go to Thailand. That's all great there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
You know?
Thais are good.
That's what she said?
Samantha Ronson's worried that her girlfriend, Lindsay Lohan, may still be into the wang bone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. According to In Touch magazine, Samantha gets furiously jealous anytime Lindsay checks out hot guys. Lindsay tells Sam that she loves her, but Sam thinks Lindsay is bisexual and not totally gay and could lose her.
The human wang is a beautiful thing.
To some wang bone. Sounds like I'm recapping a soap opera, doesn't it?
It does.
They were here this weekend, by the way, in Chicago for Lollapalooza, and we were all trying to get a picture so we could sell it to the tabloids, but it didn't work out.
Chicks love wang bone.
That's
you know
the
what
problem.
I found out? You know what I found out about her girlfriend, Lindsay's girlfriend?
Right.
Ugly.
Just found that out.
Have you not seen the photos?
Wow.
Did you just find that out?
Ugly.
Another voice to Kevin's repertoire.
She ugly. She ugly. Yep. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
That's true. Lauren Conrad is a whore.
Yes.
But that doesn't stop her from complaining about fame. She's all over the place this week, bitching about her fame. She says to Cosmo Girl magazine that the problem is her mom can go on the internet and find out.
That's what I check out over the weekend.
Yeah. And find out exactly who she was with the night before and what she was doing. You said you can't imagine what it's like to be 22 years old and have your parents know everything about you. Well, here's the thing. Stop acting like a whore and you won't have anything to be embarrassed about, Lauren Conrad.
Most 22-year-olds can't imagine having all the money and fame she has and doing nothing for it.
On the cover of Entertainment Weekly magazine, there she is, Lauren Conrad, lying there with a camera in her face, talking about how difficult it is to be on her show, The Hills.
She's a whore, okay?
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I think I'm being filmed, she says.
Look, you can't complain about the publicity and then agree to do a cover interview and photo shoot for Entertainment Weekly. You can't do both.
There is a simple solution to all of this.
Go away.
Go away.
Yes.
I have a fantasy, too, where Lauren Conrad's being filmed in the middle of the night, but it's by a snuff film crew.
Oh.
Sadly, my dream is yet to see its realization. Shia LaBeouf's accident was apparently a lot worse than anybody thought.
Well, he was in the hospital a lot longer than you would think.
Yeah, it turns out he didn't just injure his left hand. It was crushed in the accident.
Oh, no.
Dude.
Shia's lawyer released a statement Friday saying he had 4 hours of intensive surgery the day after the accident. And apparently is still in the hospital because he still runs the risk of infection or other complications from the injury and the operation. So he is being watched carefully by medical staff at Cedars-Sinai.
This is a mess.
So no word on how long it might take him to fully recover. But now, according to Michael Bay from Transformers 2, they're going to try to work his injury into the script somehow. So when they
give his character a hook?
Stop it.
That'd be the best if Shia LaBeouf had a hook.
So when they go back to filming, it won't look out of place. They won't have to try to hide his hand. They'll give him a scene where he gets his hand hurt or something. So there you go. I was at dinner last night at Vitello's, which is a great Italian restaurant in Studio City.
Mm, the best.
Is that where Robert Blake killed his ex-wife?
It is.
Right outside there.
Allegedly.
Well, that's where he was accused. Did he get sentenced? I forget the story now. Did he go? Did he go away for that?
I thought it was a hung jury, wasn't it?
Yeah. You should have seen those guys.
The civil trial is what he lost.
He lost the civil, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm sitting outside. It was a beautiful night last night, and there were two young women walking across the street in the crosswalk across Tahunga Avenue.
Okay.
And some jackhole came barreling down Tahunga at about 45 miles an hour and hit both of these girls as they were walking their dog in the car.
You saw this?
And I was sitting outside facing them, literally watching them cross the street, sitting with my wife, and I saw everything go down. And I'm telling you, I am still haunted by it. It was the most horrific thing I've ever seen. And the guy gunned it and just took off.
Oh my God.
And I got up from the table and I tried to run after him to get the license plate, but he was hauling ass down and made a right-hand turn at Moore Park there and disappeared.
Oh my God. And we know it wasn't Kevin because he was in Chicago, because that would have been your first thought.
I'm puzzled by Kevin's laughter.
All right.
I was picturing
Ralph trying to track down a car running down the middle of the street.
How badly were they hurt?
The car took their legs out from under them and bounced them off the hood and windshield of the car. I mean, they looked like rag dolls flying in the air. So it was the most horrific thing I'd ever seen.
Oh, my God.
And sadly, both of the dogs were dead at the scene. So the cops obviously are still looking for this guy. It was a silver or gray-colored sedan. So I don't know. If you have a friend who's got damage on their right front, quarter panel, because it seemed like he clipped them on the right-hand side of his car, or you saw anything or you know anything about it, please contact the LAPD, because this guy deserves to be murdered. Nope. Yeah. Wow. Guy, I don't know if it was a guy or a girl. I don't know who was driving. I couldn't see that. But it was chilling. Just chilling. Unless you've seen something like that, you don't realize the power that a car can have against the human body. You know what I mean? You see movies and stuff like that, but it's nothing compared to the real thing. And it's just, it was horrible. I had nightmares all night. And then I had nightmares that Kevin was laughing about it. That was even worse. Yeah. Well,
come on. You guys tell me you didn't picture Ralph in a bat cape running down the street trying to catch
that guy. No, I didn't.
I didn't at all. Not for a second.
All right, my bad.
Ralph, so give Kevin another shot.
How badly were the girls hurt? Did the ambulances come and
It's probably hard to know.
Amazing. It was amazing the response time of the LA Fire Department, by the way, who got there literally minutes after it happened. And both girls seemed to be conscious and obviously in a lot of pain, but apparently their legs were pretty damaged. And
were they hot at all?
Oh, God.
Well, it was in the valley, probably.
I don't know why I bother even trying to tell.
No, I was just asking. I was just wondering.
The fire department
is
on Vineland. They're like 2 blocks away. They're
remarkable.
Which is wonderful.
And the cops were there quickly. And everyone who was walking up and down, it's a busy area that. Tahunga Village, there's a lot of little shops and stuff and everything. Everyone just rushed to their aid immediately, and apparently someone said they got a couple of the numbers off the license plate, someone further down the road. So hopefully they'll catch this person. But it was a nightmare.
Awful.
No kidding. That is unbelievable.
I couldn't help but think when I was thinking about the Shia LaBeouf story, you know. You see accidents and stuff in the news all the time, but for some reason, I just happened to be watching these girls cross the street when it all happened. It's a horrible thing to witness. I wish I hadn't seen it, quite frankly.
I bet.
Could be Robert Blake, too.
It probably was.
Could be Robert Blake, man. Maybe he's stalking Patellos.
Maybe he was dating one of the girls, and he was going back to the scene of the crime. Yeah, so... Good times. All right. There's a showbiz beat.
All right.
Ralph, when I was a kid, we drove by an accident. And you know how little I remember from my childhood, right? We drove by an accident it happened right in front of us. We didn't drive by it. We were behind it. And somebody got decapitated.
Sweet Jesus.
Oh, B must have been so excited.
No, I was like 7 or something. But
death. I'm beat. I love death.
My point is, I understand what you're talking about, how it haunts you, because I still think about it. I mean, it's still with me all these years later. I'll never get that image out of my mind, and I'm afraid of, you know, how you're feeling right now with the same thing from last night. It's awful.
You can't comprehend a human body moving like that when you see it, because you've seen stuff like that happen in the movies, but it looks nothing like it does in real life. They were like rag dolls. They just were so fragile and flew so far once they got struck. It was just haunting and chilling. It's the only words I can use to describe it. It was just horrific. It was horrible. And
I want to do it because it's fun. It's fun to do bad things.
No.
And it was funny because everyone was saying, had that guy stopped, I think he would probably have been beaten to death. Again, I don't know if it's a guy or girl who was driving the car, but everyone was so furious at what they had witnessed. If the driver had stopped, he probably would have been in big trouble. So. Anyway, I hope they catch him, and I hope if you know anything, I don't know why you would, but maybe, you know.
You never know.
You never know. Maybe you've seen, there's a car, your neighbor's all banged up all of a sudden. He's got a silver or a gray sedan, and the front end is all banged up, because they must have done some serious damage to the car, given how hard they hit. So, I don't know. Maybe you can give the cops a heads up, because this person deserves to die.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Belzer, actor and comedian. He is 64 years old today. Billy Bob Thornton. He is 53. And Daniel Day Kim from Lost. 40 years old today. He must be so proud as a Korean-American actor to have that be his legacy on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm sure.
He's 40. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 12 minutes after 7 o'clock.
And that's where you hit the button that you talked about, Mike.
That's where you play the song.
I'm sorry to malfunction.
As discussed.
Over here, like in most...
Nope, that's not it.
This is good.
Never mind, guys. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:12. Mike promised us he had some funny music to play as we bring our friend Sustainable Dave back to the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock, as you know, the first week of every month, we talk to Sustainable, and he's on the line with us right now. Hey, Dave, how are you, man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, we have a very special Sustainable Dave update because I understand you had a visitor within the last 30 days. Tell us about that, Dave.
Mike and the gang came out and did a cribs here at the house, which was interesting to say the least. But it was nice meeting them and nice having everybody out. I thought Ralph was going to come.
He hates you too much to go. He was afraid he might beat you up, and then there'd be video evidence.
Wow. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for the shopping bags made of recyclable materials and the bottles to replace our water bottles. That was very nice of you.
I hope that you enjoyed them.
Anyway. I threw them all away.
Yours, actually, Kevin.
Now, Sustainable, for folks who maybe have been lucky enough to have not heard you throughout 2008 so far, give us the 20-second recap of what it is you're doing out there.
20-second recap. I've been keeping all my garbage and my recycling in my basement since January 1st to get a better concept of how much I waste.
Okay. And we've been talking to you every month, and we've been fascinated that you're putting up with this BS, and more importantly, your family is putting up with this BS. So we sent Mike and the camera crew out there for cribs. Mike, what was Dave's place like? Because, you know, we just picture him as being some sort of a wacko with tinfoil on his head.
No, not at all. From, like, an outside point of view, if you were to just get your immediate sense of who Dave was from his house, you would not know that he's Sustainable Dave and he's insane. He has a beautiful home that looks like your average kind of suburbanite family home. Like I said, from all appearances, he's a normal guy until you meet him.
But it's made out of what? Cardboard or ice or what? What's his house built of?
No, just a beautiful, a very nice, he has a very, very nice house. And like I said, it's not like a teepee or like it's not made of hemp, you know?
What were his wife and kids like?
Mike, I didn't take you to the back house, did I?
No, maybe the wigwam's in the backyard.
The back house? Yeah. That sounds ominous.
Did you meet the sustainable family, Mike?
I did not meet family sustainable. I just, Dave was solo. He had a lot of animals, but no other humans
Dave,
there.
Dave, did you send your family away so they wouldn't meet us?
I didn't send my family away, but my daughters are kept out of the whole circus to begin with, and my wife had to work. I'm sorry, but you know what? We can set up a time, absolutely. By the way, Mike.
Well, it's not necessary. We're just trying to confirm that the wife is not imaginary. That's all, because there's something about you, Dave.
There's no wife. There's no daughters.
That's what I think.
I feel like there's a special worm compost for the wife and daughter's bodies.
Maybe that's how this whole thing got started. You needed a place to get rid of them. All right. What kind of tape do we have from your visit to the sustainable house?
Well, the first place we went into was the sustainable kitchen. And it's a little different than everybody else's kitchen because he has something called the green bin.
Over here, like in most kitchens, you got your stuff for the green bin, right? Everything that all the peels go in there.
Usually put mine in a trash can.
Well, we put ours in the green bin because it can be composted.
What's in the green bin?
The green bin is like green where you stuff. Put all your fruits and vegetables and things like that. Anything that's organic can go in there.
And then what do you do with them?
Well, do you
throw them away?
Yeah, no, you put them in the green bin outside, and then it actually goes to a different place than garbage goes.
So he has all these steps he has to take for all his trash. For instance, he has a food chain at the sustainable home. Here's where we found about the sustainable food chain.
We actually have kind of a food chain here, and I haven't talked about this on the radio much because I think it's sort of... Well, crazy. I think people could have fun with it. Let's just put it that way. My kids have two pet rats, so we kind of have the hierarchy of the food chain in the house. If the kids don't eat something, right, it's my wife and I, do you want it? And then it's basically, okay, can we give it to the dog or the cats? If they don't want it or we don't give it to them because they shouldn't eat it, then it goes to the rats, and the rats want it. And if the rats don't want it, it goes to the worms, and if the worms don't want it, well, then it goes... the worms pretty much want everything, so it's not really a problem.
Wow.
What kind of food are you serving at dinner that the rats don't want?
I got to tell you, it's much easier than it sounds. It makes a lot of sense.
Maybe Dave's a little too consumed, by the way, with all this green stuff, because his wife is leaving him messages on the food in the refrigerator. Check this out.
Yeah. Your wife writes, eat me on things? Are you sure that's not a thinly veiled innuendo?
Well, you know, it's in the fridge.
So how does it work sustainable? So, I mean, you literally will scrape stuff off your kids' plates and put it in the dog bowl and then leave it there for a certain amount of time. And then if the dogs don't eat it, you pick it up and put it in the rat cage?
No, it doesn't actually go like from plate to plate to plate. You look at it and you decide who's going to enjoy it the most, and then they get it. And, you know, like 9 times out of 10, it's the worms, because by that point. But, you know, kids tend to leave a lot of food there. So it's just the way that it is.
Okay.
It works out pretty well.
In the food chain, are your kids above or below the rats?
No, the kids are on the top.
The top, okay.
We go down into the basement, which is where, you know, all the magic happens. That's what we always hear about when we talk to Sustainable on the phone. Oh, I go down to my basement. That's where I keep this and the worm compost. So we go down there, and I noticed something right off the bat that I found pretty surprising.
It doesn't stink.
Okay.
And there's a lot more alcohol bottles. I picked you as a kind of a vegan, flimsy little homeboy.
So, you know, he's talking about how he's collecting all these things that he would have thrown away since January 1st, 2007. Almost all the bottles lining the staircase, I would say honestly 75% of them were various forms of alcohol.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about this before. It's in comparison because I don't drink water bottles.
What?
I don't drink water bottles, so therefore if you look at the bottles, you're going to mainly see booze bottles. But I'm fine with like sort of looking at my alcohol consumption and saying maybe I need to work on it. But I am keeping my trash in the basement. Something has to keep me occupied, right?
I don't think I follow. You don't drink water bottles. You mean you don't use water bottles for water? Are you trying to say you put water in alcohol bottles?
No, I'm sorry. If I drank water bottles, you'd see like 500 bottles there, and a small percentage of them would be booze.
Yeah, he's saying the only bottles
If there was a tap coming out of the wall that had booze, you wouldn't see any beer bottles.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. All right.
Different things, but
I was going to say, you just go out back and lick the water out of the pool. Is that how you drink?
Exactly.
I just look at sustainable, you know, what I've seen of his life, and I think he has to drink to reconcile in his mind with the bad choices he's made.
And he has that 10,000-mile stare that, like, alcoholics will have. He looks sustainable, by the way. We haven't met – none of you guys have met him. He looks like Frank Zappa.
Really?
No kidding.
So, I mean, it's a little bit kind of – you get worried around him because he had, like I said, he's not like the most. He looks crazy. I mean, he has that appearance.
It may have also been the shoes he found in the worm composter that got him a little concerned too.
True. We're speaking of the worm compost, that's what I really wanted to see. Yeah. He showed me the worm compost next. Sustainable, show me worms, and this time I wanted to have nothing to do with Lisa's vagina. Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa.
How do you have to go that way?
I apologize.
You should apologize.
I hope you saw the surprised look on my face and the disgust when he said that.
I'm sure. Thank you, Dave.
The worm compost has different layers, and there's worms on every one. And by the time it gets to the bottom, there's something called worm tea that most of us wouldn't want to collect. But Dave has to show me how he collects his worm tea.
As they break stuff down, it's going to liquefy and it's going to go through all these little holes here. And it's going to come down the bottom here into worm tea. And I think I have some going on. This may smell. There we go. That's worm tea.
It smells like Doc's b-.
Wait a minute. What does he do? Drink it?
What do you do with it?
No. Actually, the mic did want me to drink it. The worm tea is like the water that's got all the good stuff in it, and you put it out by the plants and whatnot. It's fertilizer. It's the same thing. Liquid form, it smells a lot worse than the other stuff. That does smell.
That's ideal to have in your home, then.
Yeah. I have to admit, though, we all just assumed that Sustainable's house would stink, because he doesn't throw stuff away. But even when you're right next to the worm compost, his house doesn't smell at all until he opens up the worm tea. That reeks.
I was honest about it. But Mike, by the way, but your money's in the mail. it was better than you thought, wasn't it?
Yeah. The first thing I told these guys when I got back from your house is Sustainable doesn't have that much trash.
I think Mike came expecting like just the gonzo gold mine of comedy, and unfortunately it wasn't there the way that he thought it was going to be.
But wait a minute, it is August and you've been throwing away your trash storing your trash in the basement for all that time. How is there not trash in your house?
That's the whole point. Apparently you're not reading the blog every day.
Of course not.
But I will explain it for you. First of all, the number one thing that smells in your trash is food, and that goes into the worm composter, so that's done with. Number two is just I make a lot of smarter choices. I buy in bulk. I buy things from the farmer's market. I don't get a lot of things with packaging, and it cuts it all down. So the whole point is, and Mike can tell you, I'm not living like a monk. I may be living like a crazy guy, but I'm not living like a monk. And yet I'm able to cut it down to this level. So it's like, you can make a lot of choices and make a difference.
I think later in the week, Lightning at KROQ.com is going to put up some video of Mike's visit to your home, Dave. And we don't have time to talk about this much now, but is it true that Mike showed up with armloads of trash that he proceeded to throw around your house?
There was a little depositing, if you will. It wasn't nearly as bad. I expected, truthfully, tractor trailer truck.
Right, yeah. Right.
So I was very happy to see that. But I will say again, I was very disappointed that Ralph didn't come.
Well... he doesn't like you.
I am. I'm getting that. By the way, the fact that you said show up at the door in a tinfoil hat, two friends of mine called me and said, you need to show up at the door in a tinfoil hat.
That's what we expected.
All right, listen, Sustainable, we're out of time. Give people the website address if they want to check out more of the kookiness that's going on in the Sustainable household.
Yes. You know what he does? He takes pictures of his trash, people. You could see that.
It's 365daysoftrash.com. And I just put up new pictures, so you guys, I know you haven't seen it in a while. And by the way, did you notice there was a listener dip last month when you didn't talk to me. Did you notice that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right, anyway.
Hey, Dave, before we go, I would like you to please admit that this is a horrible idea.
Never. Never.
Well, if you could just hang on for just a few more months, then you can say I did it for a year and you can be gone with it.
He'll never stop. You know he's hooked now forever.
January 1st, it's a garbage spree of unprecedented proportions.
Sure.
That's what we're hoping. All right, Sustainable, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning.
Have a good one. Enjoy Chicago, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:30. So I'm sorry, 7:30.
What time is it? What time is it where you are? Isn't it 9:30 in Chicago right now?
Yes, it is.
And you should sound better then for that late in the day.
Yep, I know I should.
Kevin and David King of Mexico are in Chicago for Lollapalooza. We're going to hear a recap of their exciting weekend coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, we got to take care of some business from the weekend. As you know, all weekend long here on K-Rock, we were giving away copies of the brand new Metallica album before you can buy it, called Death Magnetic, and membership into the Platinum Metallica website. And we offered a grand prize drawing that we're going to give away right now, which is a chance to see Metallica and hang out with them backstage at Ozfest in Texas. I believe we're dialing our grand prize winner from the weekend right now.
Texas.
Hello?
Hey, is this Francisco?
Yes.
Hey, dude, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. How are you?
All right, how are you doing?
We are good.
All right.
You know why we might be calling?
For the trip to Austin to see Metallica?
No, just saying hi.
But no, we got to hang up and call the winner right now, though.
No, 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 we're kidding. You won.
For real?
For
yes.
All right.
You get to see Surge and Drowning Pool and Ozzy and Metallica and Jonathan Davis and Hell Yeah and Apocalyptica. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
And a lot more. It's going to be Ozfest, and you get to hang backstage with Metallica.
It's all right.
Yeah, pretty good deal. Have you, you probably, have, this is a dumb question. You've never had the opportunity to meet Metallica before, I take it?
No, I haven't.
Well, you're going to have a great time. They're super cool guys, and obviously nobody rips on stage like they do, so you're going to have a hell of a day out there in Texas. So congratulations, man. I think you're going next weekend.
Thank you.
Get your passport in order.
My passport.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just you know, Texas bean.
Republic of Texas, man. Be careful. Just, it's a whole other Texas. Country.
They will put you to death, though, for spitting, so be careful.
All right. I'll try to do my best.
All right, man. Hey, email or call us back after you go and tell us how the trip was.
All right, for sure.
Cool, man. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks a lot.
I can never tell. Is this over or I can't?
This is it, yeah, it's ending. I mean, this is pretty much the
done?
End. Yeah.
It kind of fades, right? I mean, I don't want to.
It's over. No, it's over. You're right. You're good.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:40.
It's Midwest Kevin and Dave the King of Mexico this weekend. They jetted off to Chicago right after the show on Friday for the annual Lollapalooza Festival. And I know this is something you've been looking forward to all summer long, Kevin, but yeah. You've been very tight with the details about the weekend you and Dave had. What's it been like?
Just a lot of love, a lot of physical love.
Yeah.
Basically wow. It. No, Friday, it was funny because Friday we got off the air and then we rushed to LAX. We took a plane. Of course, it was delayed because, of course, they had to fix some stuff. And by the time we finally got to Chicago, we went to where we were going to pick up our tickets and they weren't there. And then we finally got our tickets and we went in to see Radiohead. Very excited to see Radiohead. One song. Thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.
They only performed one song?
Nope, we only saw one song.
You were so late?
By the time we got there, we saw one song.
Yay! No.
Boy, on Friday night.
Boy, was that just a song.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for coming, everybody. Good night. And then there's like 225,000 people exiting the park.
But wait, hold on a second here. I don't understand. You guys were leaving L.A. at like 1 o'clock, right?
Yep. And then we got in at, we were supposed to get in at 7, we got in at like 7:30, and then we had to go get our tickets, and they weren't where they were supposed to be, and then by the time we finally got them, I mean, it was that late.
By the time you got back to the venue, it was like 10:30 or something like that, and they were just going off.
They had a curfew of 10 o'clock, by the way, that's why. So we walked up and we said, yep, that was a song. That was one song.
Damn, and then you had a good to song. Fight with all those people to get out.
Yeah, well worth it. That
welcome
was
to
really,
Chicago.
Really fun. Apparently they played really well, according to all the reviews.
I bet they were good.
Yeah, I bet they were too. So this is at Grant Park, by the way, which is, I don't know, it's like kind of like Coachella, but a long rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
And from stage to stage, each end has a huge stage on it. It's probably 7 miles.
Already.
And you have to walk. And you know, Dave, I'm too tired. I don't want to walk. I'm too tired. I'm just going to stay at this stage and see what happens. I'm too tired. And he was just complaining the whole time about having to walk. I got to walk some more. This is crazy. I'm too tired.
Dave, why didn't you rent a Segway or something, man? I'm surprised you're not styling.
Dude, I wanted to, but they wouldn't allow them in the venue.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
We were so heading over to rent, because you can rent them here in Chicago. That's the best.
Right, you can?
What could go wrong with that?
And the problem with a show like this is oftentimes there are two bands going on different stages on opposite sides of the park at the same time, so you pretty much have to choose, right?
Well, especially last night was Nine Inch Nails, and they played at the exact same time as Kanye. So you got to figure out, where do you want to go? You want to see Nine Inch Nails? You want to see Kanye West? So I, of course, wanted to see Nine Inch Nails, one of my favorite bands. And Dave wanted to see Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye.
And because he's black, because Dave's black, right? And then we just texted each other back and forth about all the good stuff that was going on at our end. Oh, yeah, really? Jay-Z came out? Great. I had Beyonce at my end. What do you think about that? Now I know what Dave spends so much time texting. It's just nothing. Just nothing important. So Saturday night, Rage Against the Machine, our favorite band of all time. Dave and I date every time they have a show. We went to Vegas to see them at Vegas, and they were playing on Saturday night. And it was, this particular night, Saturday night, no one else was playing. So everybody was there to see Rage.
How dare you, first of all, because Dave told me Wilco was on the same time as Rage Against the
Machine. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And that would have been the band that I would have been most excited to see.
It was only hippies watching them, dude. No one cares.
Yeah, you know what I say about hippies. You know what I've said my whole life.
I know what you've always said. Absolutely, yeah.
I'm not a fan of hippies. So Dave and I decided we were going to try and get on stage to see Rage, just see if we could weasel our way up there, right? Because what a better place to see Rage. So, of course, we got turned down. We went, oh, you can't come up here with those wristbands. What are you doing? You're not even supposed to be back here. What are you doing? You're not even supposed to be back here. So we just hung out and we waited. And we saw Trent Reznor. This is on Saturday night. He played last night. And he was going to go up on stage to see Rage Against the Machine. And he had, I don't know, 15, 16 people with him.
Damn.
You know, kind of a posse.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, all right, let's just go in. Let's act like we're with Trent. And I didn't, you know, introduce myself. I didn't want to be the 6,000th person to say, hey, remember me that one time that you met me once? When? So we just pretty much followed him, acted like we were with him, got right up on the stage, and was standing right behind the guitar holder for Rage Against the Machine for Tom Morello. We were standing literally 5 feet from him. It was the best thing ever. We kept looking over our shoulders and waiting for people to come check our passes. And we were hiding and we were taking pictures. We were so excited. I looked over at Dave and he was texting. And then Rage played some songs and it was great. I looked over at Dave and he was texting.
Oh, sure.
Dave.
And then they did have to stop the show 3 different times because people were getting hurt. And everybody was crushing the people in the front, and they were trying to pull the people out. People were almost dying up there.
It was awesome. Being people who didn't have tickets rushed the venue and broke down some gates and got in.
So that's always a good time, right? So Zach had to stop 3 different times and say, listen, we'd love to keep playing. We're going to have to stop. If everybody doesn't take about 5 or 10 steps back, you have to take some. And then they would wait. They would pause for like, I don't know, 5 minutes to try and get people to back up off the stage a little bit.
Right.
Then they would play another song, and then they would stop and go, you know what? Really, we're going to have to stop playing here if you people don't stop shoving. I don't think the people in the back of any of these shows have any idea what it's like for the people in the front, nor do I think they care. Mm-hmm. But, my God, there were just people getting pulled out that were just, like, out of it. People were knocked out. And they were really, like, literally worried that someone was going to die at the show.
Oh, my God.
You have to be. With a crush of people like that and everybody pressing toward the front. I mean, you really have no choice but to try to get those people to back up. I understand why they did it, but it kind of sucks. I mean, it kind of breaks up the momentum, especially of a band like that that, you know, really gets up and rocking.
Yeah, they go crazy. We're going to have some pictures up a little bit later today. We don't have them up yet, but a lot of them are of Dave texting, and that's what Dave does. Dave texts. That's his thing.
Was there anyone that you saw this weekend that you hadn't seen before that blew you away? Somebody that you're now a new fan of from seeing at Lollapalooza?
No. Blew me away in that I've never heard music so bad in all my life.
Okay, it was this.
Do you know a band, Nationals or The Nationals?
The Nationals, sure.
Oh!
Terrible Live?
They were horrible. He's the guy that like kind of sounds like Johnny Cash, but older. Even now, and it was horrible. I found myself just standing around going, boo! They were so awful.
Oh, no, you booed them.
And I really did think at the time, Bean probably likes them. I'm sure Bean probably likes them.
I don't really have an opinion on them either way. I've never seen them live, though. I don't know, have any idea what they sound like live. Not good, huh?
Not the least bit good. The opposite of good. They were so unbelievably bad. But anyway, we're going to have some pictures up a little bit later. There was G-Love and Special Sauce. There were all kinds of different bands that were really fascinating. But you know what I'll tell you about this festival is that it did seem like they were huge headliners, and then they were kind of filling in the rest with people that you didn't really want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like more than usual, where you'd go, all right, I've got 2.5 hours now. I know there's 17 people playing, but not really all that interested.
Right. So. Lightning, by the way, from KRock.com has just notified us that he does have video up of Rage Against the Machine and some of their set from Lollapalooza from Saturday night. So,
fantastic.
If we look close on the video, can we see you and Dave?
I don't know. We're right to Tom Morello's left behind his stand of guitars.
All right, and, we'll check it out.
I almost wanted just to hold on to one of the guitars when he came over to get it, but I couldn't bring myself to it.
I touched one and left a little something for Tom.
Oh,
I don't like the sound of that at all. Everything just went south.
What did you touch it with, B? Never mind.
I can't
say. All right, we'll take a break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next.
Indulge yourself with melty cheese. Check out the new fajita steak melt and jalapeno chicken melt from Taco Bell. To lose yourself in melty cheese, think outside the bun at participating locations for a limited time. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I could listen to Lisa talk about melty cheese all day long.
I like cheese.
I know you do, sweetie. Anyone else?
One in.
All right, I'll go
Ralph?
Now.
Okay,
yeah, Ralph, for the Ralph Showbiz Report.
I'm sorry, usually Kevin jumps in there, but we may have lost him in Chicago. I don't know what's going on here.
He's useless when he's
not
sober.
Not jumping, I'll tell you that.
Can you hear me? Hey, test.
Yeah,
test.
We can hear you fine, but test. Every day at that time, Kevin says, now it's time for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat, so I didn't want to step on
him. Turn him off.
F all of you.
Listen to him.
F all of you.
Better one person go to jail than 1,000 free people die.
It's been a long weekend.
Yeah. Was there much drinking? Was there much drinking in Chicago, Kevin?
What would you consider much?
Well, I don't know. I mean, did you sleep at all? Did you miss any nights?
Not full nights. We slept for a couple of hours last night.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're pretty fresh.
You sound
good.
And
I think you can tell.
Here's Ralph Garman.
Talk about the top 10 movies at the box office.
And now
weekend.
Here's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
We covered that. We've moved on past that.
Seriously. Oh. How would he know if we turned his mic down? He wouldn't know, right? We could say it's some sort of technical glitch from Chicago. It happens all the time.
What a sucker Kevin is.
The Dark Knight.
I don't know what that was.
I heard something in my headphones.
I heard a woman.
Too. Yes, I did too.
But it wasn't me.
Kevin?
Okay.
It wasn't me.
What's going on over there?
I think Kevin's wife is hacking our studio.
I want to check on the Lammy.
Dark Knight, number one at the box office again this weekend for the third weekend in a row. $44 million made it. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, was just eked out by The Dark Knight. $42.4 million put it at number two in its debut. Step Brothers was number three, then Mamma Mia, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Swing Vote, the new Kevin Costner film, only made a little over $6 million in its debut. Once again, proving what I've said all along, we don't want to see any more Kevin Costner movies. Hancock was seven, Wall-E was eight. The X-Files, I want to believe, was nine, and Space Chimps rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Well, she's at it again. Another series of Miley Cyrus provocative photographs have appeared on the internet over the weekend.
They're coming faster and faster.
Thank God.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
This time, it's Miley in lingerie and then sort of reclining in a sort of a bikini-type outfit on a couch.
Ooh.
And a lot of people are talking about the fact that she's, provocatively dressed in these photos, but very few media outlets are addressing the fact that there's something on her stomach.
Wow.
There is a white substance on her stomach.
It's either suntan lotion or...
let's just say it's suntan lotion,
maybe
shall
it's
we?
A virgin pina colada, perhaps?
Gotta check that out.
It could be paste. It could be.
She's doing some arts and crafts.
Could be some mucilage.
Man paste.
We're trying to not say that.
Paste. What?
We're trying hard to not suggest that since she's 15. I think it's semen.
Hey, I'm not the one with my picture up there with this on my stomach.
Giddy up.
Anyway.
And that look on her face, Ralph, that's what's remarkable about these pictures is these aren't just casual pictures of a young woman hanging out at a pool or something like that.
No.
This is her posing intentionally, sexually, provocatively.
Yes. Some people are speculating it's a new educational campaign where Miley shows off the map of Hawaii for kids who are learning geography.
Oh, no.
However, I don't think that's the case.
Thank God.
Rodney, what do you think?
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV when they showed her concert.
Right.
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get, the special ones.
Uh-huh. Right.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked. It was really good. She was like, she was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap practically.
Wow.
And she's hosting, I guess, the award, the teen awards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, maybe those photos were taken after she sat on Rodney's lap.
Oh, no way.
You don't know. I'm just saying.
Got boarded.
Yeah.
They need to take her cameras away from her. Like, she can't have a cell phone, she can't have a camera, she can't have a webcam, she can't have anything.
Well, apparently this is all more photos from the time this hacker train wreck, he goes by, that's his internet name, hacked into her cell phone. Apparently he's got these photos and he's releasing them a little bit at a time. He's dribbling them out, so to speak.
How about some teenagers?
So it's not all new ones each time.
No, these are apparently, these are new photos, but apparently of a larger collection that this guy hacked off her cell phone and is releasing a little bit of time to the internet. So.
They're getting close to the point at which they'll be illegal to view, though.
Yes. Yes, trust me. I feel dirty already, having just watched those and talked about it. This man paste.
That's what I think it is.
Ooh.
Too much?
No, it was just enough. Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor comedian Richard Belzer is 64 years old today. Actor Billy Bob Thornton, Oscar winner and well-known lunatic. He's afraid of furniture, you know, Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, good man. 53. And Daniel Day Kim.
Hey!
Oh, my. Ouch.
Wow.
You just do, Bean.
Someone just stepped on Bean's tail. He is from the TV series Lost. He is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are all about the foos this week here on K-Rock. In fact, coming up this hour, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to see Foo Fighters at the Pomona Fairplex coming up at the end of October. Plus, you'll be qualified for grand prize drawing Kevin and I will do on Friday morning. Check this out. A 2008 Harley Sportster 883. That's a motorcycle and some junk. So you win that, and you get to ride your new Harley with Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters if you are a grand prize winner. So you'll chance to qualify this hour and all week long here on K-Rock. And if you love Dave and the band like we do, check out K-Rock.com. There's lots of great stuff up there, including highlights from Mr. Grohl's last in-studio appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show, highlights of our breakfast with Foo Fighters that we did, all sorts of Foo Fighters videos, their performance of Darling Nikki from the K-Rock Inland Invasion. Just, we're all about the foos at K-Rock.com.
I can't wait to see our listener who's riding a Harley next to Dave going, "Hey, so how did you decide to do Darling Nikki?"
Yeah, I don't know that that's the best time maybe to interview the guy. But yeah. It's a pretty cool prize to win. I mean, not only the ride with Dave Grohl, but you get to keep the bike, too. I mean, that's what's awesome about it.
All right, let's. I need some people that are dumber than I am to make me feel better. And the reason that we're doing this is because I went to the X Games last Thursday. And... I got out of my car, walked all the way to the Staples Center, realized I didn't have my keys. So then I thought, well, I better retrace my steps back to the car so I can find my keys. So I did that, and I got all the way back to the car and realized that the car was unlocked and the keys were in the ignition and the engine was running. Left the car running.
Is unbelievable. It's totally understandable to leave your keys in the car. Everybody has done that. How do you walk away from your vehicle while it's still running, though? That's, well, it's never happened to any of us.
No,
ever.
Never
it's never happened to anyone, ever.
Yeah, and I looked at it and I was like, this is a new low for me. And that's saying something. But the car was running. It was probably 5 or 6 minutes from the time I left the car, went to the Staples Center, and then walked back to the parking lot. Just running, just waiting to be taken.
Was your first reaction shock, or was it laughing, or was it, what
no.
was it? What was going through your head?
It was, I was scared. I was like, oh no, I'm moved to a whole nother level. Oh dear God, this is not good.
Yeah.
Because we all know I'm losing my mind quickly.
But at the same time, you also had to have been so relieved, too. I mean, I imagine your mind works pretty fast, and you couldn't help but think, oh, my God, this could have been so much worse because somebody could have easily gotten in and driven away with my car. Thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't really think of it that way. I was more scared for my own sanity.
Yeah. No, I understand that. Because the next step is not being able to find your way home.
Right. I mean, who
Nothing
does that?
Familiar.
So we need to take some calls from K-Rock listeners, 1-800-520-1067. If you've done something boneheaded, something that's preferably something that's worse than mine. I know that's going to be hard to find. But
yeah.
That's a tall order. I mean,
I know.
Short of leaving the kid in the car, you know, those stories, short of that, I don't know how you top that.
Did you see the story leaving a dog in your car overnight in your garage?
I did do that one time. Years ago, I pulled into the garage and Chin Ho... one of my dogs was laying in the back seat. I guess she's asleep in the back seat or something like that. She was being super mellow, and I forgot she was in the car. And the next, you know, I was thinking it was overnight, but now that I think about it, I think it might have been like that night at dinner time or something like that. I'm like, hey, where's Chin Ho? I haven't seen Chin Ho. Well, what happened since you took her out? I don't know. I haven't. Oh, no. So I ran out to the garage, and there she was, just sitting in the back seat, just wagging her little tail. But it was like 6 hours later, though. I mean, it was a really, really long time to leave her in the car. Totally forgot that she was in there in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes you worry about yourself, right? You go, how can I do that?
Kevin, were you going to talk about
the dog? Yeah,
the family that got on a plane without one of their kids?
Oh, it was in Paris, was it?
I think so, yeah.
Family got on an airplane, left their kid at the airport?
You guys are talking about Home Alone.
It just happened.
It was in the news. They have several kids, and they had all this luggage. They got all their luggage on the in the plane. They all got in the plane. Plane took off, missing a kid.
Missing a kid.
Yeah. They're worse than you, Kevin.
Not Home Alone. Those people are worse than me.
And it is kind of hard to imagine how something like that could happen, because it seems like it would just be part of being a mom or a dad would be to keep track of all your kids. Just kind of, you know, mentally just count them.
Sure.
They had five children. They were late for a flight in Paris, and they were rushing through the airport. They had 18 suitcases, and they remembered all of those and four of the five kids, and they left the other one at the airport.
Well, those are pretty good options. I think. So we need to make Kevin feel a little bit better today about leaving his car running at the X Games. If you've done anything that's as boneheaded and you want to share it with us, we'd love to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike, nothing from you? And even with your crazy quilted past, nothing?
No, I can't think of anything really just boneheaded. I've done a lot of bad things, but nothing really that dumb. Nothing that trumps Kevin.
Hey, easy there, dude.
Sorry, man.
So 1-800-520-1067. We're taking calls right now, and we'll talk to you right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
I'm just saying, I can't be the only guy who's done something that boneheaded.
Oh, no.
I got good news for you. You're not. Yeah. We have lots of boneheads on the phone. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. Kevin is talking about going to X Games on Thursday, realizing he didn't have his keys, retracing his steps back to the car to find out that it was running. He had left it running. Yaron writes in, by the way, he did the same thing as you, Kevin, spending more than an hour in the mall, realized he didn't have his keys, came out to his car to find out that the keys were in the car was running, and the doors were locked. So his was even worse than yours. He says the best part about that story is it was not the first time that it ever happened to me either. So that's the type of thing you'd think you'd just do once. Lisa, what happened to you?
I thought of something just a minute ago. I wanted to bleach my eyebrows to make them a little bit lighter. And instead of putting bleach on them, I put Nair hair remover on them.
Nice!
And 12 minutes later, wiped it off. No eyebrows.
Gone. Sweet!
Yeah.
How did you confuse the two?
I don't know, because with bleach, you have to mix up powder and everything. But they were next to each other in the cabinet. I don't know.
You were drinking, weren't you?
I was completely high.
Put those pictures on lisamay.net. That's what we want to see.
It's a beautiful thing.
All right, let's go to line 7 in Riverside. Let's talk to our man Robert, who had a very funny boneheaded story to share with us. Good morning, Robert. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I go to Dodger Stadium last year, and they have the new system, parking system.
Right.
I got so mad or pissed off at the parking lot attendant. I get out of my car. I walk to the game. We're there an hour early. We're chilling at the park. The game is over. I reach for my keys. They're gone. Right? And so I go back into the stadium to look for them. I walk back to my car. My car is still running 4.5 hours later.
Nice!
In Dodger Stadium, 4.5 hours? I would have bet that car would be gone in 4.5 minutes.
That's what we thought. But my windows are all tinted, and they made us park inwards instead of outwards. So we were thinking maybe they just thought we were just chilling in the car the whole time.
Wow.
That's awesome. Mine was only like 5 to 6 minutes. That makes me feel a lot better. You're way worse.
When I heard you on Friday, I was like just rolling because I was like, I was going to call on Friday, but I didn't have time. But yeah, it was crazy. If my car, the air was on, it was like 24 degrees in the car. It was a good time.
That is awesome, Robert. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try David in Anaheim. He's on line 8. Hi, David. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock talking about boneheaded moves to make Kevin feel better. What'd you do?
I drove away from the gas pump with the nozzle still in the gas
tank. Oh, nice.
What happens? I mean, what happens after that?
A co-worker and I went to fill up. You know, we're in our work truck, and we each thought that we
took the nozzle out, and then we drove. The best part about it is we drove down the freeway with it hanging, and I saw it in the mirror.
Oh, so, you mean it ripped away from the actual pump, and then you just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It took it clean off, like, instantly.
Wow.
And we didn't even notice it because it's a big work truck, so we're hauling ass down the freeway, and next thing we know, like, what the hell's sparking in the mirror? You know, so we pull over and grab it and throw it in the back of the truck, and we take it back, you know, and I walk in, and I got my checkbook with me because I'm like, I'll just deal with this now. So
you're
I don't
such a good citizen.
I didn't want to hear about it from the guys at work. That was the part about it. So I take it in there, and I, you know, show it to the guy, and he just points to the corner, and there's, like, another one sitting there. So he's like, yeah, it happens all the time. Just throw it in the corner over there.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Well, happens, you know, all the time.
Well, you see it happen in the movies all the time, but I didn't know if in real life the pump really separates, you know, the nozzle separates from the pump. But that's exactly what happened. You drove off with it in your car. That's amazing.
Yeah, it has like a quick disconnect on it to come find out because it happens so often. Mm. So they just go out there and snap it back on.
That's like wild. All right, dude, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try West Covina, line three, please. Bring me Natalie. Hi, Natalie. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What happened?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My daughter was only 5 days old, and she was really sick, and me and her dad were taking her to the hospital, and he was passing me the keys through the car, and I didn't know, and we both shut our doors, and the keys got locked in the car with the baby in the back seat.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What did you do?
Yeah, so we had to call the fire department, and they had to come, and they put, like something through the window to budge it open, and they got something and unlocked the door.
Wow. How long was she stuck in there?
I'd say probably no longer than, like, 20 minutes.
And how long did it seem to you and your husband with a five-day-old?
Forever.
Yeah.
I think we are the worst parents that have ever lived.
Yes. Yeah. And on top of that, she was a premature baby, so she was only like 4 pounds.
Oh, dude.
Wow. Yeah,
it was pretty scary. But
you just left her in the glove compartment?
Oh.
By the way, I hope you felt a lot better about 2 weeks ago when that happened to Jennifer Garner. You probably saw that on the news. Jennifer Garner locked her little daughter Violet in her car. Exact same thing that you're talking about, although she was old enough that she was able to direct her to open up the doors from the inside. But it does happen to people. You shouldn't feel too bad about it.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that happened to her. Good to know, though.
Yeah, doesn't it make you feel better that other people are boneheaded?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Let's try Bobby in North Hollywood. He's on line four. Kevin, you feeling better already?
Yes,
after talking
I am.
To these people?
Yep.
Okay.
These are my
Bobby,
people.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi. What'd you do?
I went camping, 3-day camping trip. Got home on Sunday night, went to the local bar, and thought about it and thought, did we bring the dog home? And I called my fat nephew AJ at home, and I said, did we bring the dog? He's all, no. Did you? And he drives 70 miles back. It's getting dark, and the dog is in the campsite all alone.
Oh,
wow.
Poor baby.
Nobody else is there. He's the only dog person there.
Oh,
he's just sitting there just like wagging his tail, just waiting for somebody to come and get him.
Aww.
Laying next to the picnic bench.
Oh,
I sure thought we got along. I don't know why they left me.
That's very sad. All right, dude. Thanks for the call. Ralph has joined us with a troubling event that happened to him over the weekend.
Just happened last night. My wife and I were out at dinner at a place called Vitello's in Studio City, which is a great Italian restaurant on Tujunga Avenue. And we were sitting outside, having a glass of wine and a cigarette. And the area where it's at is a location called Tujunga Village. There's a lot of small little cafes there and little shops. And at night, in the summer especially, it becomes a big area where a lot of people are out walking their dogs and hanging out. It's a very social little neighborhood. And so I was sitting at the front, and I was facing the intersection of Tujunga and Woodbridge, which is right in the corner where the restaurant is. And I was talking to my wife, and for some reason I just gazed off and watched these two young women walking their dogs across the street in the crosswalk. There is a painted crosswalk there. And out of nowhere, going about 45 miles an hour, a car tears through the crosswalk and hits both of the girls and the dogs as they were crossing the street.
Hits them like solid?
Well,
knocks them down, hits them?
Didn't even break?
Luckily, they seemed to be just a little beyond the car, so he hit him with the front right-hand side of his car. And knocked the legs out from both of them, and they bounced off his hood and windshield into the air.
Oh,
like
man.
Rag dolls. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Sometimes you see in movies, you know, you see staged situations where someone gets hit by a car, but this was surreal because you couldn't believe a human body could do what happened to these poor women. And one girl bounced off the hood and windshield of the car and rolled to the side, and the other girl was launched about 20 feet. And as quickly as it happened, the car kept going. I mean, it didn't even slow, didn't brake, and I wish I had thought more quickly, but I was in such shock because I witnessed it all happen, and then it registered to me that this car wasn't stopping, hadn't even slowed, and I took off after the car trying to read the license plate, but by that time, he was almost down to the end of the corner at Moore Park, the other end of this block, and had made a right-hand turn. And it struck me, it's so funny the things you remember, but it struck me as odd that he turned on his turn signal to make the right-hand turn at the end, speeding away from this accident. And I was just in shock. And luckily, it was, like I said, it was crowded with bystanders that night, and a lot of people rushed out to help these girls immediately. And I tried to dial 911 on my cell phone, but it was busy because everyone was doing the same thing. And the fire department paramedics showed up literally minutes after it all happened. But it just struck me. First of all, it was so horrific having seen it all unfold, but then I was just furious at this driver for the fact that they may not have seen them when they hit them in the intersection, okay? I know sometimes that happens, but to not even slow down after you've seen two people mowed down by your car, not to brake and see, and to stop, just to actually increase your speed and take off, was just made me violently angry at these people.
No, we weren't heading toward that.
Nope, it's not a setup.
Ralph,
it really happened last night around 8:30, and so the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I know a lot of people listen to the show, and this is obviously just a wild shot in the dark. But maybe you have a neighbor who is driving a silver or gray sedan. Someone at the scene said they thought it was a Lexus. I can't be sure what make of the car was, but I'm sure that this person's car is now severely damaged on the front right-hand side of the car, and maybe you have a neighbor who has suspicious damage on that side of their car, or maybe you know the person, or maybe you were in the car, or maybe you're the driver, and if that's the case, you need to turn yourself in, because what you did was horrible. These two girls were severely injured. Both of them had both legs severely mangled by what happened. God. And the two dogs they were walking both died at the scene. They were both killed. And it was a nightmare. And if that's you, you have to do the right thing and turn yourself in. Or if you know anything about this person, or like I said, you just know of a car that has some suspicious damage on the front right-hand side, maybe you want to give the LAPD a call and let them know.
You think someone may have gotten a couple of the license plate numbers?
There was a lot of stories going on. You know how it is sometimes in these things. Everyone gathers around and everyone's talking and everyone's trying to do the best they can to help. But sometimes it's just... it becomes a game of telephone, you know, where people are just starting to spread stories that they heard in the crowd. Right. Someone said, because we were screaming down the block as I was chasing the car, and other people were, get the license, get the license. And someone said that they believe they had at least the first three numbers of the license plate. So there may be some hope in tracking down the person in that way. So,
but it all happens so fast, too, and you're trying to remember everything that you saw, and it's really hard to do.
Yeah, I felt like an ass because I literally saw the whole thing happen from start to finish, and I was so focused on the women that I saw very little of the car and the driver and what was going on there. And by the time it dawned on me to try to get the license plate, like I said, they were going 45 miles an hour. They were practically down to the end of the block by the time I took off after them.
It takes a while for something like that to sink in. You can't get your head around it. You know?
It is. It's surreal. When you see bodies fly in the air like that, I never saw human beings move like that. You know, you never see them in that situation. And your body does go into, your mind goes into a sort of shock initially. And then by the time you get your wits about you and you start, you know, you start thinking, what can I do to help? Sometimes it's too late. So I don't know. I just thought I'd put the word out there. So maybe somebody knows something about it. We can find this person and hopefully the cops can bring him in because, like I said, the accident's one thing, but the lack of consideration for another human being after what he had, or she had just done with their car, to not even slow, to not even stop, I can't comprehend what was going on in their minds. I really can't.
Describe it again as best as you can, what you know about the car and also where the most likely damage is on the car.
The two young ladies who were walking their dogs were almost across the street at that point. They were crossing from where I was watching it, from right to left, going across the street in the painted crosswalk. And so the car was coming towards them, obviously on the right-hand side of the street, and seemed to nail both of them with the front right passenger side of his car, or his or her All car, right. the front passenger side. So that's where the damage would most likely be, is the front passenger side, the front of the car, the hood, perhaps even the windshield, because both of the girls, like I said, were knocked off their feet when he or she struck their legs, and then they hit the car with such impact that people inside the restaurant who were dining thought it was a car accident because they heard such a tremendous impact. It sounded almost like metal against metal, but it was just the women hitting the car as the guy sped off. Or, again, I can't see a guy. I don't know if it's a guy or not. If it's a guy,
right,
or a girl,
right.
I have no idea. The driver sped off. And it seemed silver to be or silver or dark or gray. It was, you know, silver or gray sedan. Mm-hmm. And like I said, someone at the scene said they thought it was a Lexus, but I can't vouch for that specifically. But it was gray or a dark gray or silver sedan that sped off. Around, I don't know, 8:30 last night in the Studio City area at the intersection of Tahunga and Woodbridge was the intersection where it happened. And the car sped down Tahunga and made a right on Moore Park. Yeah. So
that Vitello's is bad news, guys.
Good
That's
food.
What I'm Good taking food. Away from this.
Yeah,
be Robert Blake's wife or someone walking your dog in the middle of the night.
I don't
that's
think it's
sure.
the restaurant's fault.
No,
well,
no, actually, I'll tell you, the restaurant, remarkable. The maitre d' there and the manager there were the first people to aid these girls in terms of bringing blankets over to them. They called the 911. They were all the shop owners there were remarkably helpful in trying to keep the girls immobile and waiting for the. For the paramedics to arrive, so they really did what they could in terms of helping them out, and everyone was furious at this person and wanted to try to do the best they could to try to track them down as well. So I thought it might be worth talking about on the air a little bit, just in the off chance that someone may know something and be able to help find this person.
All right, that's a great tip. So contact the authorities, or if you have any other questions about it, you want to compare notes, Ralph.
Why all the violence?
No kidding.
Seems like such a cute girl singing that song. Shooting people and charging people for it or something. I can't tell what's happening.
It's K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54 and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Once again, The Dark Knight comes in at number one. $44 million was good enough to make it number one at the box office. Just edging out The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which came in at about $43 million.
So Batman is going to cross the $400 million mark when? Like this week?
Early this week, yeah. It's right at the edge. So
unbelievable.
They're thinking today, tomorrow, should finally surpass $400 million.
And whatever number you hear about for box office in America, remember, it's also making that much around the rest of the world as well.
Yeah.
So this is a cash maker right here.
Yeah, it's probably going to make $1 billion by the time it's all over.
Oh, yeah. You throw in DVDs as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mummy, as I mentioned, was number two. And then Step Brothers, Mamma Mia, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Swing Vote, the new Kevin Costner movie, was number six, making just a hair over $6 million.
Ouch.
Hancock was number seven. Wall-E was eight. The X-Files, I Want to Believe, number nine. And Space Chimps rounding out your top ten at the box office. As you can imagine, people are already talking about the third Christopher Nolan Batman movie. Rumors are speculating. And the most widely reported one this weekend was that Johnny Depp has been approached to play the Riddler in the next Batman
yes,
movie.
Please.
Interesting.
I think that'd be fascinating casting. A source says Johnny would be amazing as the Riddler. The studio knows they need someone whose performance could match or even top the late actor Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker. Also in discussions, again according to the same source, is Philip Seymour Hoffman to play the Penguin in the same film.
Sweet.
He would be great.
The Penguin, he was great as the bad guy in Mission Impossible 3, right?
He was great, yeah. Yeah, very sinister. And he's kind of big and doughy like the Penguin was.
Yeah.
Right.
So Jim Carrey as the Riddler, Philip Seymour Hoffman as the Penguin. These are the latest rumors about casting.
But,
what did I say?
Jim Carrey.
No, that's wrong. He already played the Riddler, Jim Carrey. He was bad.
I liked last week's rumor about Angelina Jolie being Catwoman better.
I think Megan Fox would be a better Catwoman.
Really?
I think
she's fine with me, too.
I think she's just more age appropriate for Christian Bale, you know?
She's a little bit older than he is, and I think a younger Catwoman would probably serve them better.
Yeah.
Not that she's not smoking hot, but, you know. Megan Fox, I think, is sort of the new Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why not give her a chance just to...
Sad news from TMZ. This just broke on TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. Morgan Freeman has apparently been injured in a car accident.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He was in a serious car accident in Mississippi. Ruleville, Mississippi, to be exact. Around 11:30 p.m. last night, it was a one-car accident, they claim. But he was seriously injured enough to be airlifted from the scene to a hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Alcohol is not suspected as a factor in the wreck. No word on what happened exactly. Morgan Freeman's condition is unknown, but state troopers say that he was talking at the scene before he was taken to the hospital. And so we're hoping for the best, but apparently he was serious enough to be airlifted.
What about Miss Daisy? Was she all right? Was she in the car?
He wasn't driving Miss Daisy.
Yes! Come on! 15, 20-year-old reference?
Boys and girls, boys and girls, for those of you who don't understand what Uncle Bean is talking about.
Unbelievable!
A few decades ago, there was a very popular movie called Driving Miss Daisy, where Morgan Freeman played a chauffeur to a...
Because he was driving in a car. I thought it made sense.
If you had that voice, old white woman, dead for 10 years.
Jessica Tandy, yes, is
woman,
now dust
dead.
In the ground. And Bean is bringing back that reference.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
If you had the opportunity to take that back, would you?
I loved it.
You stand by that, huh?
I stand by that wholeheartedly. He was in Driving Miss Daisy, and he was driving in this accident, and he got hurt. You guys don't get it.
Maybe a few other people might know him as Lucius Fox from The Dark Knight, big movie this week.
If you want to talk about stuff, he's done recently.
Yeah, no connection there.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Here's another story for Bean. Apparently, they are making a movie about the life story of Buzz Aldrin.
Dear God.
Yes.
It's going to be 17 hours long.
Apparently, there is a movie in the works about the real-life love story between Buzz and his wife, Lois, which centers on his personal battles with alcohol and depression after his Apollo flight.
Captain?
I don't get that at all. Captain.
I want to be in that movie somehow. I want to be involved.
Buzz tells People magazine that he would like some say in casting the part of his wife, Lois. Megan Fox, he said. No, I'm kidding. Reese Witherspoon, he thinks, would be a great actress to play his wife Lois in the film of his life.
Dude. Fine.
She is not a dude.
What is...
Stop.
Wait, I just coughed. What are you talking about?
You think a big scene in the movie will be where Buzz sits next to Bean on an airplane and Bean doesn't say anything?
Buzz?
I doubt it.
That'd be great. Remember when we talked to Buzz?
Oh, yeah.
He was horrible.
God.
He was horrible.
He's an older fellow who doesn't maybe speak as concisely as we might be used to on this show, but he's got a lot of valuable information for us, a lot of things worth hearing.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Like what, Bean?
Man walked on the moon.
That moon sure is far.
Man walked on the moon. He's got something to say.
What does he have to say other than I walked on the moon?
Well, we asked him a lot of questions about what that was like, and I thought it was fascinating. I very much enjoyed the conversation with Mr. Aldrin.
Ooh, well, that makes one of us. And she's at it again. Miley Cyrus has more inappropriate photographs floating all over the internet this weekend.
Ooh.
They were released.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently this is from the dude who claims to have hacked her cell phone, which contained the previous set of photos that we saw. This time around, it's Miley in lingerie.
Thank God.
Sexy faces to the camera. And one scene where she's in looks to be a bikini, stretched out on looks to be a chaise lounge with something that looks to be some sort of...
Lotion
or something all over her stomach.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Alex, by the way, and Miss Cleo. Yeah. Insist that it's just suntan lotion that she hasn't rubbed in yet.
That's what we're insisting.
It could be that.
It could be that, absolutely. Right. Ronnie, you were watching Miley this weekend, weren't you?
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV when they showed her concert.
Uh-huh.
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get the special ones.
Right.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked. She was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
Oh, no.
And she's hosting, I guess, the award, the teen awards.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. She is.
By the way, who's got the old-fashioned 3D glasses just hanging around their apartment, by the way?
You
Rod, just happen to slap those on.
Yeah.
I don't need the new ones. I've got a case full of these.
Are you a pedophile?
There's no hair on her vagina. Oh, do you think she's okay?
Come on. Please, for name all that's holy, stop. Today's
touch me, I'm going to scream.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, comedian Richard Belzer is...
Well, I'd like to see them play.
Right. 64 years old today. Billy Bob Thornton turns 53, and Daniel Day-Kim.
Hi!
No relation to Daniel Day-Lewis, by the way. Although I do believe he drinks his milkshake.
Does he?
Yes. Daniel Day-Kim from Lost is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got your pink slip, Arnie.
We gladly go to work. We don't complain. We just ask to be fair and paid, and that's it. And he's not doing his job when he cut our jobs and our wages. So this is for him. We're going to give him a notice.
Members of the Service Employees International Union went to the Brentwood home of the governor, attempting to deliver a large pink layoff notice and to protest cutting back their pay because the legislature can't do its job about the budget. Today, they may demonstrate at DMV offices, which will be shorthanded because of the temporary layoffs. And, oh yes, the lawmakers do go back into session. The guys on this Texas offshore oil rig are staying on the job. Too late to leave. Here comes Hurricane Edward.
Well, we're going to hold on tight and do some serious praying.
Oh, as you hear the candidates debate offshore drilling, listen carefully to see if any of them talks about building new refineries to handle that oil. A brief protest in Beijing from people who were evicted from their homes to make way for shopping malls. The president's headed for the games.
Bush's decision to strong criticism. The president insists he's there to back U.S. athletes, and he promises to talk to China's leader about improving that country's human rights record.
The Dodgers won and the Angels lost. 70s through 90s as you move inland. 67 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. Get in the air, get a prize. Mondays are always exciting because we roll out a new one. And today it's a pair of tickets to Championship Off-Road Racing, Saturday and Sunday, August 16th and 17th at the Fairplex in Pomona. For more details, go to corracing.com, corracing.com. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with John in Monrovia, or as it says here, Monovia.
Oh, Monovia. I love Monovia.
Which sounds like a part of a woman's body that I like to explore.
What sorry, ma'am, you've got a swollen Monovia. We need to lance it.
John, good morning. What's going on with you, dude?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, John?
What it do, Lisa? How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Ah, man, don't ever call Sam, the Armenian comedian. He will never stop calling you. He calls me all the time, all hours. He called me in Vegas this weekend. He won't stop, and he's ridiculous, and you can't even understand what he's talking about.
Dude. I'm all excited, brother.
So you're one of the guys that called him when he gave out his cell phone number, and you talked
to
him? Okay,
yeah,
and now now he calls you back every day?
Yeah, we started messing with him, and now he won't shut up.
Okay, this is what's hilarious, because the last time we had his wife on, she was super mad at us because of how expensive his cell phone bill was, making it sound like it was because of all the listeners calling him, but it sounds like he's using up more minutes calling you guys back.
Yeah, we called him one time messing with him, and now he calls me all the time, and he's ridiculous telling me he's going to be taking pictures with some hot chicks, and that he wants to do a show for me, and I can hire him.
Oh my God. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Grassroots marketing
that.
From Sam. It's going listener to listener. By
Thank you for the call, John. Mike, what's the deal? I guess it's not a secret you can share. What's the plan for you and Sam today?
Today I'm going to a house in the Hollywood Hills with Lightning and the rest of the the K-Rock video crew, and we are going to shoot a photo shoot and a big full-on comprehensive photo shoot with Sam the Armenian
Sounds
comedian.
Sounds like a porn shoot, by the
and,
way. We got a house rented in the Hollywood Hills. We're just going to shoot commando style.
His agent, as he calls her, has rented this house out and has gotten 7 female models. And we're prepared to do, like I said, a big full-on photo shoot.
And what's his vision of where this is going? Is he seeing a calendar or T-shirts or posters or what?
Well, last time we talked to him, remember, he was really, like, it was hard to kind of unfold the riddle that he wanted of what he wanted. It was a calendar movie promo
please,
photo.
Please, let's do a calendar.
It was a calendar movie photo promo. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't really understand, but I'm going to take pictures, and I'm going to hopefully force him to wear, you know, crazy outfits and do all that stuff. So.
Awesome.
Okay, can't wait. Let's go to line four, please, and talk to Steven. He's in Tustin this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steven, what it do?
What it do?
What it do, Steven?
All right, so I went to the X Games with my buddy yesterday.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah,
we're here.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, so I went to the X Games with my buddies, right? Had a few beers and then had, like, those nasty, like, $10 hot dogs that they gave out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting down in the front row, you know, where all the family and, like, friends of the drivers sit, like, right down there by the pit, right, where all the cars are.
Right.
So I'm feeling kind of woozy because it's, like, 130 degrees outside yesterday. I had nothing to drink, like, no water out there, like, once we sat down. And they start doing, like, the interview with that chick that was interviewing the driver after the crash or whatever, right? And me being right down there in the front row, they're up on the big monitor, right?
And
the exciting story.
He's in front of me and, like, puke all over the place. Like,
yes.
By that, you mean puke, right?
Now you're talking. Yeah. Yes, he does, Rob.
All right.
Typically.
Well, we all know what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything. No, it's vomiting. You don't have to get out of delay for that. It's only vomiting. Listen to me. Steven, next time you're telling this story, here's how it goes. Hey, guys, I threw up at the X Games yesterday. That's it. We don't need any of the other stuff. The four-minute preamble.
I just threw up.
That was a good story and well told.
Wow. Wow. Line five is Aaron. He's in Moore Park on the Kevin and Bean Show. Aaron, good morning. What'd it do, nephew? Yes, Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, Aaron.
Aaron? Go, baby.
Try one more time.
It's all you, Aaron.
He was there.
Go, Ty. Okay.
All right, Aaron. This is it.
No, Aaron, come on. Come
this
through.
This is
man.
It. We mean it.
Aaron,
not
come
anymore.
Through. Come through, Aaron.
No more chances.
Eric
no more Aaron
is in Northridge. He's on line two.
Yeah, Eric.
Lisa.
Yeah, Eric. What'd it do? Eric, no, Eric, the phone's not working
what
now. What's happening?
Psycho Mike, what have you done? Dude, I'm not doing anything differently than I
was. That's how bad Steve's call was.
Yeah.
He poisoned the phones for the rest of us.
Yeah, his story was so boring that our phones are now refusing to work.
Yeah, Eric, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. All right. Well, then why didn't you answer? Yeah, goddamn you to hell.
All right, this question is for Psycho Mike.
All right, Mike.
My girlfriend was really upset at Christian Bale for not showing off his body in Dark Knight. Were you upset?
I have not seen Dark Knight, but I'm very upset.
Wait a minute. You are the biggest Christian Bale fan on the planet.
I know.
You adore him. He's your favorite actor of all time.
I know. I went to the 11 o'clock showing of Harsh Times, the one, but I have not seen Batman. And I didn't see the first Batman with Christian Bale in theaters either. I waited until it came out.
What kind of a fan are you?
Not a good one.
What's wrong with you?
I'd have to go to the theater.
Yeah?
And there's people there?
You went to see Harsh Times in the theater.
But he was a Marine that killed and came back and was angry at the world.
But he's the Dark Knight.
He's an angry guy in this. He just wears a cape and he beats people up. Yeah. I'll get around to it.
Worst fan ever. Sorry, Eric.
Bad.
All right, one more. Aaron is back. He's in Moore Park.
No, he's not.
This is line one. Fool me once, shame on you.
I think he's going to be there this time. Hi, Aaron. What'd it do?
Can you guys actually hear me?
Now we can, Aaron.
All right. So you hear about, you know how Gary Cuomo was playing that baseball game over the weekend,
right? He got a one-day contract to play some minor league team, right?
Yeah. Did you hear what happened? He got ejected before he even got to play.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Why?
The ump said he had too much pine tar on his bat, and then when he offered to wipe it off, he noticed the bat was corked.
You're kidding.
Are you kidding?
This reeks of publicity, Steve.
You're kidding.
No, I read it online on Yahoo, and apparently what made him even more mad than anything was the umpire said, looks like you're going to have a short night tonight.
Gary Coleman was trying to cheat in a summer collegiate league.
Yeah.
But let's face it, guys. He doesn't know anything about baseball or bats or corking or pine tar. He just walked up to the plate with whatever they handed him coming out of the dugout.
Excuse me, Bean. Have you ever seen a little film called Angel in Left Field?
Angel in the outfield?
No, the angel from left field or something about some angel in left field.
Well, that's quite a description.
We have a clip.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care.
No, Gary Coleman was played a kid, the kid from left field or something like that. He played a dead kid who played baseball.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Come on.
I think he was in Simon Birch.
Someone back me up here.
I have not seen that movie. I'm not even familiar with it. It's a TV movie
about a dead kid who helps a baseball team.
And he's trapped in a wall in a house that he was abandoned in, and then he comes...
He's the angel from left field or something.
Come on, staff what I'm saying in the office, get to work on that.
What I'm saying is he's an actor, though, and he doesn't know from cheating at baseball. He walked to the plate with whatever bat they handed him. That's all I'm saying. I doubt very seriously he had anything to do with that.
I think he's a hardcore player.
All right, I hear he blew a load. All right.
Oh, will you stop?
He threw up.
He vomited. I want to thank our special guests, Kevin Ryder and Dave Sanchez, for joining us from WBBM Chicago as guests this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think that their one-day contract is going to be picked up. I don't think you can expect to hear them back on the show tomorrow.
I think his bat is corked.
It was good to spend time with him. What's tomorrow looking like, Kevin?
Oh, we got a hell of a show tomorrow. We have Seth Rogen and James Franco talking about Pineapple Express.
Yeah. How about that?
How about that? Plus, we got some more tickets for you to go see it early. We have lame things that you or your friends prayed for. I don't know if you've seen this story, but there is a group that prays at the pump, and they actually go to gas stations and pray for lower gas prices.
Nah,
it's working. By the way,
Lisa believes it. By the way,
and prices are coming down.
It is true; they are dropping.
Stop it.
And the Manny Ramirez thing, was that good for the Dodgers or not? I can't get my get my head around that one because I'm not a big baseball fan, but some people seem way excited and some people seem upset.
It was good for the Dodgers this weekend, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no kidding.
He hits the ball a lot.
He does that. I know that is true. So we will take your calls on that tomorrow as well.
Also, more chances for you to win that brand new Harley-Davidson motorcycle and ride it with the Foo Fighters. We'll have chances to qualify all day long today and, of course, tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. Kat Corbett's back from vacation with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Kids from MGMT, also the Chili Peppers, Offspring, Bad Religion, Jack Johnson, and more. Straight ahead, right after this on K-Rock.